So Thad, who is your final choice? Who will be Mrs. Thad Falcon?
It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Tracy and Kim are both great women. I could spend my life with either one. Kim!
There's no doubt about it. It's Kim!
Bud Light. Great taste for your great times.
Oh, Tracy!
It's Kim.
Sure!
Absolutely free. With my simple techniques, you'll learn the secret to spotting deals that come along on average once a week. Whether you're just getting started or are a seasoned investor, my free tape will show you just how easy it is to become rich. Very rich. You owe it to yourself to evaluate my real estate investment system, and you can do it absolutely free. That's right, absolutely free. Call right now to get my free tape, 1-800-991-7748. That's 1-800-991-7748. 1-800-991-7748.
In the next 30 seconds, AutoGlassNational.com can help you get one of the things off your to-do list. That cracked or broken windshield in your car can be fixed today. AutoGlassNational.com is friendly, fast, and dependable. Click the banner in your player now for a fast, free quote with no obligation. You'll see the price on your screen in a few seconds. They can also help with all your residential and commercial glass needs. Let AutoGlassNational.com get that windshield off your to-do list.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? They're loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
CBS News. Local, national, and news from around the world.
AM 760.
Now, CBS News.
KKCN Thornton Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. 3 days later, and desperate South Asian earthquake survivors are still searching the rubble for lost loved ones. One man managed to find his pregnant wife, who gave birth to a son named Earthquake. CBS's Richard Roth in Muzaffarabad, Kashmir, says there's no such joy for thousands of other families.
If misery can be multiplied, it's happening here. A torrential rainstorm that's soaked this earthquake-ravaged city. In one home up the hill from where I'm standing, a family was just pulling out some of their meager belongings when the rains began. Within minutes, their house was filled with 2 feet of water.
And the quake may have killed as many as 40,000 people, but Daniel Safir, a Canadian living in Muzaffarabad, says there's no time to worry about the dead. The living need help.
Send food to the people and take out everybody who's injured. Nothing to worry about the dead bodies. Who's dead? We can't get met.
Supply trucks are getting through now, only to be looted in some cases by people fighting over food and blankets. In Iraq, insurgents bent on wrecking Saturday's constitutional referendum set off car bombs in Baghdad and Tal Afar near the Syrian border. Those bombs killed more than 40 Iraqis. The Justice Department is launching a civil rights investigation into the videotaped police beating of a retired New Orleans school teacher. Robert Davis insists he was minding his own business when the police beat him bloody.
It was a woman who was screaming and hollering that he didn't do anything, that he didn't do anything. And I heard the officers tell her that she would be arrested if she didn't move on.
And the police claim Davis was drunk. He says he wasn't. Three policemen are already facing assault and battery charges. President Bush was up bright and early to leave New Orleans for Covington, Louisiana, where he's joining volunteers at a Habitat for Humanity worksite. The public and senators who vote on the president's Supreme Court nominee are beginning to get a better picture of White House counsel Harriet Myers. CBS's Peter Mayer has that.
Newly released Texas Archives documents show a long-standing, warm Bush-Myers friendship. In a 1997 birthday card, Myers called Mr. Bush the best governor ever. This morning, the president and Mrs. Bush respond to conservative criticism of Myers.
The person I know is not the kind of person that is going to change her philosophy.
I think people are not looking at her accomplishments.
On NBC's Today Show, Mr. Bush again predicted Myers would be confirmed. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
If you'd been in the Los Angeles Angels clubhouse last night, you wouldn't have to ask who won deciding Game 5 of the American League Division Series. The Angels took the game 5-3. They'll play the White Sox for the pennant. Derek Jeter and the Yankees, it's wait till next year.
No excuses. They played better than us. That's the bottom line.
Ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, S&P futures are up about 5 points. This is CBS News.
For just 46 cents a day, you can have 8 weeks of the Wall Street Journal delivered to your home or office every business day. That's just 46 cents a day for the insights, analysis, and news relevant to the business of your life. Every business day, the Wall Street Journal delivers the top news from every market, industry, and corner of the globe. But because life isn't just business, the Journal's innovative personal journal section translates today's news into the useful information you need to save time and money. From scoring travel discounts to better banking deals, Personal Journal provides practical guidance you can use. Call now and take advantage of the Journal's special introductory offer. Save 50% off regular rate when you order an 8-week subscription for just 46 cents a day. This offer is available for a limited time to new subscribers in the contiguous U.S. only. Don't miss out. Call 91001 for the Wall Street Journal.
Rocky Mountain Cyberknife. Visit RockyMountainCyberKnifeCK.com.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
We are waking up with a couple of problems this morning. We have rocks on the highway. It caused a Jeep to roll over on Highway 6 just east of Tunnel Number 2. That's in Clear Creek Canyon. Then around the metro area, we have a crash working westbound I-70 near Sheridan. That's blocking the left lane. And another accident working westbound I-70 just before Idaho Springs. Now, only one lane's getting through, but that one is crews worked cleared out of your way. Now, if you're headed east towards Kansas, I-70 has been completely shut down in both directions due to weather conditions from E-470 over to the Kansas border, and roads are wet around town. Some spots are icy, so you want to give yourself plenty of time to take a little slower than usual. Northbound I-25 starting to fill in around 84th Avenue, then we're seeing a pretty nice ride into downtown and through T-Rex. Checking out the forecast, going to be a little nicer than yesterday, mix of sun and clouds with highs in the 50s. Right now we're at 35 degrees. Fun Rapid Screen mobile emissions testing today at U.S. 126 and Flat River Road in Deckers, I-25 at Thornton Parkway, Highway 58 in McIntyre, I-25 and Wolfensburg Road, and Highway 285 and Wadsworth. And you can always learn more at aircarecolorado.com. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
For now, we've been sworn to secrecy. But on Monday's Jay Marvin Show, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, will spill the beans. Don't miss a major announcement for AM 760 listeners at 7:20 a.m. That's Monday morning at 7:20 on the Jay Marvin Show.
I can't wait.
Cough it up. Give me it.
Only on AM 760. AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
By Posture D in the orange box, calcium plus phosphorus for healthy bones. And by the three new flavors from Total, one delicious bowl, 100%. 4 days after the catastrophic earthquake that hit Kashmir and surrounding districts, the death and destruction are simply overwhelming.
All these districts have lost between 70 and 80% of the houses. Water systems and sanitation systems are completely destroyed.
Help is coming, but in most cases, it is not there yet. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan.
Every hour counts, and I urge the world to respond, and respond generously and willingly.
More after this for Posture D. You've heard me tell you that you should be taking Posture D, but now the new Surgeon General's report on bone health says that our bones require large amounts of calcium and phosphorus, end quote. Posture D is still the only leading calcium supplement that has phosphorus. For the millions of women who are phosphorus deficient, there's Posture D in the orange box, because building bones without phosphorus is preposterous. I'm a pretty reserved broadcaster, and I don't want to get carried away or anything, so I'm going to have to curb my exuberance to tell you about these three new flavors of Total cereal. There's new Total strawberries with the taste of farm-fresh strawberry, golden Total honey clusters, and delicious Total vanilla yogurt. And all three new flavors have the 100% vitamin and mineral nutrition of the original Total. That's right, Total. One delicious bowl, 100%. The world is mustering what help it can.
I have directed the UN humanitarian community to do everything possible to assist the government of Pakistan in their response.
The American military at the Combined Forces Command in Kabul, Afghanistan, has sent supplies.
We've sent five CH-47 Chinooks and three UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters, and they're going in to help with some of the airlift and medical evacuations and things of that nature.
U.S. Air Force Tech Sergeant Marina Evans.
The C-17s brought in about 90,000 pounds worth of food, water, medicine, blankets, and other supplies.
But the devastation is unbelievable.
Our hearts go out to the people there, and we just stand by willing to help as much as we possibly can.
And what relief workers find when they get there is heartbreaking.
What people are finding is hundreds of people alongside a road, carrying dead, looking for even coffins and burying material to bury the dead.
And for the living, says reporter Ranjan Gupta.
For the people who have been affected, there's just not enough being done. I met a man, he said his house had collapsed. He has nowhere to go. He just keeps sitting by the side of his house out in the open every night. And this is a mountainous area. It's getting cold. And he says, nobody's even come to ask me anything.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Hard as it may be to imagine, there are individuals in this world who have a passion for accounting. That's right, accounting. The accountants of Grant Thornton are just such folks. It's their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, that have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Maybe that's why their clients are so passionate about them. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood, and I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Punching our way through the ionosphere, it's 6:09, 9 minutes after 6 on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Today, well, it's going to be sunny, partly sunny, actually, with a high of around 49, and it's a heck of a lot better this morning than it was yesterday morning, although to this day, I still can't figure out, a day later, I still can't figure out why there was snow in parts of the Front Range and not any snow here in Boulder, nothing but steady rain, but no snow. And since I'm not a meteorologist and since I'm not Mike Nelson, I can't figure that out. But I don't know why that is. All right, good morning to you. It's 303-713-7600 is the number to call in here. Like I said today, partly sunny and a high near 49. You know, for the last 2 weeks, at least the last 2 weeks, the one thing that's been in the news consistently other than Karl Rove testifying before a grand jury for a fourth time, and Judith Miller is due to talk to the grand jury this morning. She's the New York Times column reporter, actually, who was in jail for all of that time until finally she got what she says is a written and exact relief from Scooter Libby, the vice president's chief of staff, that she could name his name. But the only thing that's been in the news other than Rove and Harriet Meyer has been this whole bird flu epidemic. And we've never discussed this on the air other than to kind of talk about it a little bit last Friday. And that is, what would happen in this country if we had to quarantine people? Would the quarantine be, would it be voluntary or would we have to force people to be quarantined? And how do you force people to be quarantined in a free society? The quarantine or some version of it in a 21st century flu pandemic would look very different from the medieval stereotype of disease outcasts locked in a do-not-enter zone. President Bush's specter of military-enforced mass quarantine is prompting debates of the Q word as health officials update the nation's plans for battling the pandemic, a plan expected to define who decides when and how to separate the contagious from everything else. Now, first of all, you know, if you think about Bush's idea of using the military, let's just say that the pandemic hit tomorrow. You know, one of the things that's what military are we talking about here? We don't have any military. The military's all over in Iraq. I mean, we've got troops here, that's true, but they're stretched pretty thin to begin with. So they would be stretched even thinner. And we've got people over in Iraq that are doing, like, you know, long stints there, and we've got people that are being due to be rotated back. But what would you? How would you make a quarantine? Would you make? Would the quarantine be voluntary, or would you enforce it? In other words, would you could force people to be quarantined? And how many of you would buy into that idea? All options need to be on the table, according to Dr. Marty Sirtran, head of the quarantine at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Bush's comments recall how quarantines were enforced in parts of this country in the 1890s when armed guards patrolled streets to keep victims of smallpox and other dreaded diseases confined to their homes. Do you think you could get away with that in the year 2005? Would you accept that in the year 2005? A forced quarantine with soldiers walking down the streets, keeping people in their houses? I mean, I just couldn't. I don't think the public would stand for it. And public health officials expect a U.S. quarantine today to be almost all voluntary, with incentives to cooperate. In the case of a horrific outbreak, quarantine areas would get the first shipments of scarce medicines. I don't think either the Tennessee National Guard or the U.S. Army or the Marines will try to establish a cordoned sanitary area around Nashville, says Dr. William Schaefer of the Vanderbilt University. He's an influenza expert who advises the federal government. That's not going to happen. Could you imagine that? If we had that kind of a situation, where you had a pandemic of outbreak here of the bird flu, or which, you know, which changes rapidly. Could you imagine the situation of having to have a quarantine? Would you make that quarantine voluntary, or would you make it mandatory? Could you imagine that? Having soldiers tell you to get off the streets because this area is quarantined? And I wonder if anybody else out there has any paranoia about this. I'm not exactly saying I'm paranoid about it. But the idea of using the military for something like this, Bush's idea of using the military for something like this to control the populace in case of a pandemic, it kind of bothers me. And I would think that it would be voluntary. You know, that we would try to get, all of us would try to get vaccinated. And that the whole idea that we would be quarantined would be voluntary. That you would do it voluntarily, not be forced to. And then what do you do if it was mandatory that we all observed a quarantine and then somebody violated it? Would you arrest them? Would you throw them in with everybody else who had violated the quarantine? I mean, how in the world are you going to do this? How would we manage the public in this situation? Now, experts point to the SARS epidemic of 2003, and that illustrated that the public will voluntarily comply with measures to both protect themselves and their loved ones if doctors make the case that the steps are for their own good. And I don't remember doing anything over the SARS epidemic, but I don't even remember it being SARS striking the United States. Does anybody remember that? Now, legally, isolation is a term for separating people who are already sick from others. That happens routinely in hospitals as they limit access to patients being treated for certain infections. Quarantine means restricting the movement of still healthy people who may have been exposed to an infectious disease in case they're carrying it. It almost always works for a brief period of time, but then it sometimes shows problems after, say, the disease has gone through an incubation period. So I want to hear from you on this at 303-713-7600. Should what do you think about this idea of quarantines being either voluntary or mandatory? And if they're mandatory, do you think we could get away with that? Do you think Bush could use the military if he were the president and we had a pandemic flu outbreak? Do you think he could use the military to corral us all? And to quarantine us all? And how would do you think that a quarantine left to be voluntarily, do you think it would work? 303-713-7600. Would you do it voluntarily? I know I certainly would. 303.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Over the last 2 years, over 40,000 people have packed the Colorado Convention Center for the Gears, Games, and Gadgets Expo.
G3.
This November 12th and 13th, join satisfied exhibitors like Mile High Culligan, Dunright Kitchens, Lasting Impressions, Bill Sports Collectibles, and many others by becoming an exhibitor at G3 2005. November 12th and 13th at the Colorado Convention Center. To reserve your booth, call 303-713-8343 today. Or get more info at g3denver.com.
It's that time of year again. Time to call American Exteriors at 3037 Window to replace your old drafty windows with beautiful new American Exteriors replacement windows. 25 years of superior customer service has made American Exteriors the largest window and siding company in the Rocky Mountain West. They make their windows right here in Colorado, so you're buying direct from the manufacturer, avoiding that hefty middleman markup that other window companies have to charge, and eliminating any warranty hassles. American Exteriors beautiful windows and durable maintenance-free siding will beautify your home and save you money on your energy bill. American Exteriors. They've been manufacturing and installing quality replacement windows and siding on homes just like yours for more than 25 years. And they're committed to your total satisfaction. What are you waiting for? Call 303-7-WINDOW now to set up a friendly in-home consultation. And if you call right now, you'll get 40% off your next order. So remember,
the only number you need to know is 303-7-WINDOW.
Not valid with other offers.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference. If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
Equal housing opportunity. See website for licensing.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 620, 20 minutes after 6. Look forward to be partly sunny, a high today near 49. 303-713-7600. Talking about the idea of a quarantine, if we were to have a pandemic flu outbreak here, and would the quarantine be voluntary or would it be government enforced? And if it were government enforced, what about troops? Would you, which do you choose? And I guess most of us would say voluntary. Now, Mike Levin, who is the Health and Human Services Secretary, said that we practice the quarantine idea and the isolation idea every single day. If a child gets the measles, their mother is expected to keep them home from school and keep them in the house. Vaccination is the cornerstone of fighting a pandemic, and the quarantine-like steps are supposed to be brief, designed to buy time until we have an adequate supply of countermeasures, according to the Center for Disease Control's spokesperson. Dr. Marty Sertran. So what I'm asking you here is do you want to see it voluntary or would it be mandatory? And can you imagine U.S. troops enforcing a mandatory quarantine of people who are suspected to have, say, for instance, the bird flu? 303-713-7600. I got three lines open. Let's go to Ron in Loveland. Ron, you're on AM 760.
Hey, Jay. How are you?
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, I talked to you a little bit about this the other day, and just
right.
This is what I'm going to throw out there because this is what I think he had in mind when he talked about using the military. I think if it comes into the United States and it comes here before we have a vaccine, and it's hugely contagious, and it's hugely it has a high mortality rate, like 60-70%, something like that. That if it were to show up in a place like New York City, there's no way they would want it to get out of that city and get into, you know, and spread to the general population. And if it showed up in a variety of individuals before they figured out what was going on, I don't think that he would hesitate to seal off a whole section of the city or even the whole city and just let it run its course. And in order to avoid letting it spread to the rest of the United States, I think that's what he had in mind.
Well, what about people? What about people inside the city, though? What about people inside the city? Would you quarantine all of them, or would you make it voluntary? Would you ask them to get off the streets, or would you force them off?
Oh, I don't think he'd hesitate to force them off. I don't think he'd hesitate to do whatever. I guess what I'm getting at is I don't think he envisioned people cooperating voluntarily. I don't think he expected to have to use very draconian measures in order to protect us. And I think that he would be perfectly willing to just write off a large population center, like, especially if they were Democratic. And I know that sounds paranoid, and I know that, but that's what I meant when I was comparing what this might be like to what happened in New Orleans.
People have leveled that charge about New Orleans that the White House was slow to react because it's largely a Democratic area.
Well, I know, and I'm not, at first I wasn't one of those people, and I still think that might be an overreaction or paranoia, but part of me says, you know, that a place like New York City, what does he care about them? They're Democrats.
Well, there are a lot of Republicans in New York City, too. I mean, the mayor of New York is a Republican.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying he would be happy to see such a thing happen, but I'm also saying that I think that they would do whatever it took to keep it from spreading out outside that population center. If they thought they could confine it, they would do whatever it took, and they would shoot people to keep them from getting out of there. I think I think it would be really ugly, and I think that they would take a lot of measures also to make sure the media didn't find out what was going on. That's my opinion.
All right, but if anybody would answer, if they had their choice, they'd rather see it voluntary as opposed to mandatory.
Oh, absolutely, and I think people should be. I think we, you know, hopefully, if there's even a hint that it's coming, you know, people will start buying those, masks and doing, you know, whatever they think is going to help keep it from spreading. You know what I mean? Because it could be real serious.
All right, Ron, appreciate the call, man.
Hey, thanks, Jay. Have a good day.
You got it. 303-713-7600, four lines open here, about whether you would favor a voluntary or a mandatory quarantine if we were to get a pandemic flu outbreak in this country, and would you favor using the military, as Bush has talked about, or do you think that it should just be left to you and I, to the citizens, to decide whether we're going to stay indoors or not, or would you like to see the military involved? And would you have the? There's a lot of questions to be asked and answered. You know, personally, I don't think we're prepared for any of this. I know we don't have enough vaccine, and that's been in the news now for a couple of weeks. And Bush sat down last Friday and tried to talk to drug makers about coming up with a vaccine and supplying the United States with enough vaccine. because most of the drug makers don't want to engage in making the vaccine because they lose money on it. And there's not that kind of money to be made where they can make it a manufacturing other medicines. But are we prepared in this at all? Are we prepared for this at all? No. How would you say, for instance, if there was a pandemic flu outbreak and you got it in Denver, could you imagine trying to have to quarantine the entire city? And would you use troops to do that? Would you have troops on the streets who would say, you know what, if you're caught on the streets because there's a quarantine going on, I mean, how in the world would you do this? How in the world would you engineer this problem to keep it from spreading from person to person? Now, the military, as you know, is not trained at all in law enforcement. And when New Orleans was at its height of its problems, people brought up the Posse Comitatus law. And Bush, I don't even get where he's coming from here with his idea about use the military. Because the military is already overburdened. Now, experts are saying that this pandemic will show up sometime in the next 20 years. But would we even be close to being prepared for it? And then on top of that, do you trust the United States government to make a decision about that? About whether you want to be quarantined or not? That they would make the decision, and should the quarantine be voluntary or should it be mandatory? And if it's mandatory, who's going to enforce it? So you got all these questions circulating around here. And this administration has demonstrated to me that they're not ready for any kind of massive emergency of any kind. I mean, look how they've done in Katrina and Rita, not very well. So you got that same kind of planning going on at the national level for something like a pandemic bird flu outbreak? Do you trust the administration to get it done? And yesterday on CNN, they were talking about this guy who's in charge of this in the Health and Human Services area. And his name is Stuart Simonson. And about how he has no experience in public health whatsoever. That the last job he had was, he was with Amtrak. And then he also advised Governor Tommy Thompson about security and law enforcement issues. Let's go to Scott in Denver. Scott, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What do you think, man?
Well, this is what I'm thinking. Instead of Bush deferring to, you know, the cronies that he puts in his different positions, you know, why don't we defer to the professionals at the Centers for Disease Control? I mean, as far as being voluntary, with the people, like the average person, Jay, doesn't have enough sense to get out of the rain, let alone know how to make a decision when it comes to something that's important.
That's pretty grim.
Well, seriously. I mean, I'm a science teacher. I've taught for 15 years, and the average person's understanding of how diseases spread is pretty low, and it's unfortunate to say.
So what do we do?
Again, defer to what trained professionals, not political lackeys, are saying, or what Bush is saying, but what the scientists are saying. If I were to hear scientists say, you know, this is spreading rapidly, do not go out, or if they were to say certain areas need to be quarantined, yes, put the military in quarantine them, because this is, you know, the 1918 killed. Estimates range from anywhere from 25 to 60 million people worldwide. This is not just a run-of-the-mill flu. And if it does come, which it will come eventually, it's just, you know, viruses mutate, it will happen. It may not be in Colorado, it may not be in this part of the country or this part of the world, but they happen. And, you know, I'm pretty liberal, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't think that the government is going to quarantine parts of the country because they're Democratic. When I hear that, I just roll my eyes. I'm like, this is why we lose elections, people who think like this.
All right, so you would, but you'd, if it came down to it, you would defer to the CDC, and if the CDC said that an area had to be quarantined,
and not just CDC, but a consensus among CDC, World Health Organization, you know, trained professionals, you know, scientists who don't have a political interest or a political stake.
All right, very good, Scott. I appreciate the call.
Okay, have a great day, Jay.
Okay, you too, man.
Thanks.
All right, there's Scott, a science teacher, who says that if it were to happen, well, we should defer to the CDC, and if the CDC says that an area ought to be quarantined, then we should use the military. 303-713-7600, two lines open at 303-713-7600, 631, 29 minutes in front of 7 o'clock, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, Progressive Traffic Now with Bailey.
Well, thanks, Jay. We are seeing a few problems to the ride. Good news, though, if you're headed eastwards, Kansas I-70 has just been reopened in both directions between E-470 and the border, so you're good to go now. We do have rocks on the highway. It caused a Jeep to roll over Highway 6 just east of Tunnel Number 2 in Clear Creek Canyon, so emergency crews on the scene there. And around the metro area, we have a crash westbound I-70 near Sheridan. That's tying up the left lane. Then all southbound lanes of Sheridan have been shut down at 52nd. That's because of an injury crash there. We are going to deal with wet roads and backsplash this morning. Some icy spots, especially on bridges, overpasses, and on and off ramps. So you want to give yourself some extra time and take it a little slower than usual. Now onto the forecast. Better than yesterday with a mix of sun and clouds and highs in the upper 40s. Right now we're at 35 degrees. At Romano's Macaroni Grill, they saute a tender chicken breast along with mushrooms, artichokes, and prosciutto to create their chicken scallopini. Try the chicken scallopini today for only $11.99. Only at Romano's Macaroni Grill. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Yeah, every car is equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. Plus, they show you Carfax as well, which tells you what you need to know about the vehicle. Rocky's Autos is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see my friends Ruben and Fred Labrado and the Mays brothers, all the folks working out at Rocky's Autos, Colby and the Tower of Power. They're all good folks, and they're willing to help you and to want to see that you get taken care of and that you go away happy. Rocky's Autos.
Fargo today. Wells Fargo, the next stage. Wells Fargo Bank, and a member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Live, local, and left. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 6:35, 25 minutes away from 7 o'clock here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Partly sunny today and a high of 49. We're talking about something that we briefly got into last Friday, and that is this pandemic bird flu. And a quarantine, whether you'd want that quarantine to be voluntary or whether you'd want it to be mandatory. And if you made it mandatory, would you use U.S. troops to, like President Bush has suggested, to make sure that people observe the quarantine? And what would a quarantine, a modern quarantine, look like in this country? And do you buy the idea that if people, because Scott, who's just on in Denver, said, well, you know, people don't have the sense to get out of the rain, let alone go in and engage in a voluntary quarantine. Mike Levitt of Health and Human Services said that a quarantine could work voluntarily because we do it every single day. If a child gets the measles, their mother is expected to keep them at home. So my question to you is should a quarantine be voluntary or should it be mandatory? And if it is mandatory, do we use U.S. troops to get it done? 303-713-7600. Many people, I kind of fall into this category to some degree. You know, I get nervous when you start talking about using U.S. troops to carry out domestic policy. I'm not so sure I like that idea. But I'm also not so sure, I'm kind of like Scott, I'm also not so sure that a voluntary quarantine would work. And that you might have to mandatorily quarantine people because this is a flu that is much more severe than what we would expect. You get like the normal flu season. This bird flu kills people, and it has spread from person to person, and you would have to be careful. So would we all walk around in public with masks on, hoping not to get the germ? And what would you do? Do you agree with George W. Bush to use the military to keep people, under control? Which is a scary and frightening thought, because we're used to freedom of movement in this country, for the most part. Aren't we? And I don't know. Do you think a voluntary quarantine would work? Do you think if we got on the radio, if we got on the news media, and we said, hey, here's the deal. You're supposed to stay indoors. If you suspect or you have anybody in your family has got the bird flu, you need to stay indoors. You need not to be out. And we'll get you the medicine as soon as we possibly can, and we'll tell you exactly where to go to get it. Would people follow a voluntary call for isolation, or would you have to get troops in to be able to enforce that isolation? Because most people wouldn't follow a voluntary measure to stay indoors. And Scott in... Denver says that most people don't have the intelligence to get out of the rain, which is a pretty dim view. But I'm not so sure he's not right. And, you know, we saw what happened. I mean, society, you know, how fast does order break down in a situation and in a time of panic? which a lot of people, you know, would get scared. And I do you think that even in any way, shape, or form, this government is prepared for this? As I brought up before, the person who's in charge of this, you go to the New Republic's website, has got a cover article about, I think it's either 14 or 15 hacks in the United States government. And one of the guys they name is this guy, Stuart Symington. Symington? I'm not getting his last name totally right. But he's involved with Health and Human Services. And his deal would be he's in charge of planning for an epidemic. And he has no public health experience. And his last job was with Amtrak. And so he's a guy who's sitting there. Instead of getting somebody like a doctor or somebody with some kind of health background, this guy is another crony of the Bush administration who's sitting in that position. And so, to me, I don't think we're in any way, shape, or form ready for anything to happen here. I don't think we'd be able to handle it. And I just couldn't imagine, you know, I couldn't imagine being told, okay, you know, you have to stay indoors, and if you're outdoors, I mean, what are they going to say? If you're outdoors, you're going to be arrested? And then what? And have troops come in and do that, as George W. Bush has suggested. Which we talked about last week, the idea of getting troops to do domestic work. 303-713-7600. And this is really a tough subject to tackle. It's a very tough subject to tackle. One of the reasons it's tough is because, you know something? Right now it's not apparent. I mean, we hear about this going on in other countries, but we can't imagine it happening here. But it is going to come here eventually. The experts are predicting that there will be a 21st century flu pandemic, and that the quarantine situation would look very different from the medieval stereotype of the diseased outcast locked in a do-not-enter zone. The question is, how would you get people to obey? And would they be able to do it voluntarily, or would you have to do it with troops? Can you imagine that? And you imagine the panic to get medicine to? And here's one of the things the government would do, by the way, which I failed to mention. Here's one of the things the government would do. They would reward you for behavior by telling you that they would send the first available medicines, the first available vaccine to you if you engage in the voluntary quarantine. That's one of the stick and carrots that they would use. That they would try to get the medicine to the affected area as quickly as possible, and if you would participate in the quarantine, they would help you out by making sure that you got the medication. You don't believe me on this, go to MSNBC.com. And read the article, What Would a More Modern Quarantine Look Like? And that's one of the things they're mentioning. 303-713-7600. I got three lines open. We'll take your calls coming up here. 640.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
When you're looking to build a new facility, there's a lot riding on your shoulders. You have to get a structure that meets your needs. You need one that's built to last. You need to get it built quickly, and most importantly, you need it to stay within budget. What you need is a pre-engineered steel building from Anthem Steel. You won't believe how much you'll save in both time and money with a brand new built-to-last steel building. For free information on how you can get the building you need with less time and money, call 1-800-771-1868. You can even customize your building. You select the size, you select the style. You can even choose to add the look of brick, stucco, or stone. Building a new facility is a big responsibility. Make it easier by calling Anthem Steel. Achieve your goals faster and with less strain on your budget. For free information, call Anthem Steel at 1-800-771-1868. Call Anthem Steel today, 1-800-771-1868. That's 1-800-771-1868.
Imagine becoming a millionaire by investing in real estate. Sound unbelievable? Well, I've engineered a proven system to help ordinary people make a fortune investing in real estate. Now I want to help you become rich too. Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I bought my first property at 17 without a penny to my name, and since then I've made millions in real estate. I'm going to send you a free tape to show you just how easy it is. That's right, absolutely free. With my simple techniques, you'll learn the secret to spotting deals that come along on average once a week. Whether you're just getting started or are a seasoned investor, my free tape will show you just how easy it is to become rich. Very rich. You owe it to yourself to evaluate my real estate investment system, and you can do it absolutely free. That's right, absolutely free. Call right now to get my free tape. 1-800-991-7748. That's 1-800-991-7748. 1-800-991-7748.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Look very different from the medieval stereotype of diseased outcasts locked in a do-not-enter zone. President Bush's specter of military-enforced mass quarantines is prompting debate with the Q word as health officials update the nation's plan for battling a pandemic, a plan expected to define who decides and when and how to separate the contagious from everyone else. And all options are on the table with this. And I'm asking you, would you, number one, want to see the U.S. military get involved in this? And number two, do you think that if there was a voluntary quarantine, would people follow that quarantine? Or would it break down into chaos? Let's go to Jim in Golden. Jim, thanks for hanging on. You're on AM 760. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, I don't trust this government at all. I've called before, and that's an obvious. It's a government that certainly doesn't, I don't think, really care about the poor that much. And if you did have a mandated quarantine, you're going to lose your paycheck. Most people are living from month to month as it is.
Well, that's something you'd have to consider. What would the employers do? I guess most places you get, what, about 15 days maybe, or maybe 8 days of sick days, and then after that runs out, then what the heck happens? But most places I've worked, usually if you've got some kind of serious problem, usually they'll carry you. But for how long? I don't know.
I doubt Walmart's going to carry any of their people.
Walmart's, you know, they have substandard health insurance anyway, don't they?
Sure. And then friends of mine that are really up there in the science industry of like the National Science Foundation, they have no respect for Bush whatsoever. I don't think that the man would, if he was to quarantine an area down and totally shut it down, he doesn't have the resources to do it. Whether it's the Army, the police, the fire personnel, you gonna shut down all the roads here in Denver?
Well, see, I don't know. Do you think people would follow this voluntarily?
Personally, I think I would take my family and get them out of here, and hopefully they're not carrying the disease. But if they are, then we're all dead. We're all going to be dead if we stayed.
Well, wait a minute, though. You don't think there would be vaccines? You don't think that they would make some effort to take care of you?
Oh, no.
You think it would just be like, okay, get the hell out of here, and that'd be the end of it?
I don't believe, I truly believe in the capitalistic system, but it has to earn money. And you alluded to that before. where if the industry isn't willing to make the vaccine because it's not cost-effective, who's going to force them to make it any more than who's going to force us to stay in town? Is the government going to force these companies to actually make the vaccine to protect us?
Well, they're going to order, and they're going to order the vaccine, so therefore the companies would make money. They're going to stockpile it.
And that costs
That would
money.
Be the idea.
That would cost money to stockpile it and hope that...
Well, yeah, but they're willing to pay for it because I guess they believe that the pandemic is coming.
The pandemic is coming, and it mutates so quickly that can they keep up with the alteration of the vaccine?
That I can't tell you because I'm not a scientist.
Right, and neither am I. But I don't believe that they're going to be able to keep up with the way that the vaccine would be able to mutate itself and stay along with it. This particular pandemic that's coming from Asia has already altered itself several times, from what I understand. And it does it quickly enough where you couldn't keep up with the vaccine anyway. So you would already have this problem, and if the companies aren't willing to stay on top of it and produce the vaccine quickly enough, why would you stay around? If you knew it was already in the country, it came in someplace, West Coast, East Coast, whatever, we're in the middle of the country, we're somewhat lucky, although people would be flying into DIA, I would guess the best opportunity would be get out of here. Go someplace.
Well, what happens if you run into a New Orleans type situation where some people can't leave? Well,
there you have it. They can't leave. They don't have the money to leave. They don't have the resources to
leave. So you'd have to quarantine them.
Okay, you quarantine them.
So how do you do that? Do you use the military to do it?
The military, the police, whatever resources you have, and then what are you going to do? Are you going to, like you said, you would shoot these people?
Listen, if I had the answers, I wouldn't be asking what you think.
Okay. what I think is, if you thought it was really coming into the country, it's already here. In my opinion, I would try to get to a location where I would be isolated from the rest of society. That's what I would try to do. I would pull my resources together, and I would get out of town.
Probably have to find a desert island somewhere. All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Jim.
Sure.
Let's go to Jeremy in Boulder. Jeremy, you're on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Oops. Am I still there?
You're here.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's really a tough question. First off, regarding the vaccine, probably Halliburton would get the no-bid contract for it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But, you know, one thing, I wouldn't trust this administration's government to be handling the quarantine based on what we've seen down there in New Orleans, based on what we've seen in Iraq as well.
There's a new CBS News poll out that shows that support for Iraq continues to fall among the American public. So based on what they've been able to do in Iraq and based on what went on in New Orleans, you wouldn't trust them one way or the other.
No, certainly not. They'd be controlling the flow of press in and out of there, for one. Certainly liberties would be infringed and whatnot. But the other point was that, and this is almost more of a question, is if we're, it sounds like this strand of flu is like so severe that people would be perhaps debilitated somewhat if they knew that they had it. Like, it would be pretty obvious right off the bat. And in which case, you know, if you have a really bad flu, you tend to not go anywhere anyway, and stay put, and maybe loved ones come to you. So how could you even manage to go anywhere if you?
Well, you'd be surprised. There are people who would. How about you're carrying it and it's? How about you're carrying it and you're transmitting it without really knowing it? Because
well, in that
it
case,
hasn't.
You
been...
don't really have the. You can't really be quarantined, right? Because no one can say that you have it if you're just carrying it. You know, it hasn't hit you to that effect yet.
Yeah, I don't know how any of this would work. I mean, how would you, to me, it would have to do it by geography, I guess, was how you'd have to quarantine people off by the area that they live in if there was an outbreak in that area.
Yeah. I guess
you want to do anything to keep it from spreading.
Yeah. Well, I guess on the whole, I don't agree with it because to the point that it's fatal, people would be struggling to be with their families. Either their families would be coming in as a support system or... you'd be wanting to get out of there before you get it, and you may even be carrying the strand. And then, like the start to come up with the last call, what point would it get to then? Would it come to soldiers pointing their guns at you and killing you? In which case, that sort of defeats the purpose of the quarantine anyways, people dying over it.
Do you think a voluntary quarantine would work?
I don't know.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that we're reluctant to say that a voluntary quarantine would work?
Yeah, it is. But I think I would still choose that over the military, at least under this administration.
All right, thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one.
Okay.
Bye.
Couple of lines open at 303-713-7600. Boy, isn't it amazing. Most of us think that a voluntary quarantine would not work, although Mike Leavitt, the head of Health and Human Services under this administration, thinks that a volunteer quarantine would work. Let's go to Morgan in Denver. Morgan, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. What do you think?
Honestly, I think that it would have to be a military-run operation. People are just too stupid. People are too stupid. They're not going to sit there and stay in their homes. They're going to panic. They would have to be kept in by force. And I don't agree with the government. I'm not a big fan of the way things are running. But, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, there's too many stupid people out there.
So you would favor the military keeping people off the streets?
It would have to be that way. I mean, if you think about it, seriously, it would have to be that way.
Yeah, because people wouldn't do it voluntarily.
And then they get people that are going to panic, and they're going to, go out and run and do all this other stuff, and it just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. Not long term. Not for even short term. It wouldn't work.
We don't have much faith in our fellow human beings, do we?
Well, look at the people on Earth. Look at the people in the metro area.
I mean, that doesn't say much, does it? That you don't think that people would go, that people would panic and go crazy, and that we'd have all kinds of chaos in the streets?
Yeah, pretty much. Look what people did when the Broncos won the Super Bowl. Come on.
Well, yeah, but they were desperate. They didn't have any food. I mean,
if the people, you'd have to have a military run procedure or operation there, because it just, people would not do it. I know, and I hate to say this, but I know too many of these kind of people that would actually sit there, well, I'm going out, I'm going to go do this, I don't want to sit at home. They'd have to be kept inside because they don't have that kind of self-control.
All right, Morgan, appreciate it. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
All right, do I have time to get one more on here? Let's go to Mary in Denver. Mary, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi. What do you think?
Well, I listened to the senator who was on Air America last week talking about the first forum that they'd had on this and the briefing on it, and saying that he was not in favor of quarantines, especially the military ones with Bush. But it seemed like that was all Bush wanted to suggest, even though they were talking about that there's an antiviral that would be the best medical means of dealing with this, that helps you after you're sick, that cures people after they're sick with this. And that there are only a few hundred thousand shots of that available in one company in the world. Why aren't we using funds to have our drug companies manufacture that, or get the rights to do that, or to help Holland or whoever it was that had this?
I think it's Roche, isn't it?
That.
I think it's Roche.
I don't remember where it was. Somewhere.
It's German,
somewhere,
isn't it?
It was somewhere in Europe that there was one small company doing it that could not manage. And they said that within 12 weeks of it going person to person, it would be in the United States, that one quarter of the population would catch it, and one half of those people would die. So I don't think you can quarantine it, because there's always going to be people, like you say, that might be a carrier and not show symptoms. That there's that guy saying he'd go somewhere away from everybody. You couldn't. They'd be all over the world. If it's going to be here in 12 weeks, it'll be everywhere.
Yeah, and I don't think we're prepared for it in any way, shape, or form, do you?
No. And Bush doesn't even want to listen to the fact that, let's put our money into having an antiviral.
Well, he did, but wait a minute. You know what? I'm not a fan of his, but you know what? He did sit down with the pharmaceutical companies and ask them to get busy on it. Now, whether they'll do it or not, who knows? And I believe Roche is the only company that makes it, and I think they're either a German company, perhaps? Yeah, they're a German company, and they're the only ones who make it. But he did have that meeting last Friday with the heads of all the pharmaceutical companies.
Will the Germans share it with the rest of the world? I mean,
yeah, they would sell it to us.
But
sure.
Would they share the patent on it? I mean, share the process of making it, because can't make enough.
That I don't know, Mary. There, you got me there. I don't have any idea about that. Mary, thank you. I appreciate the call so much. Have a good day.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. Coming up next, James Dobson. What does he know about Harriet Myers? And what was told to him? Now, he says he's going to clarify it on his radio show. Do you believe that, or should he be? Should he have to come before the Senate Judiciary Committee, sit down and be sworn under oath and tell what he knows? We'll talk about it coming up here. It's on 60 Boulder's Progressive Talk. And at 8:05 this morning, we're going to talk about health care in Colorado. That's all on AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Angie at 303-492-7702. That's 303-492-7702.
Your chance to win $1,000 four times a day. Less commercial interruption. More time for Progressive Talk. AM 760. Now, CBS News. KKCN Thornton Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. President Bush is rolling up his sleeves to give some Gulf Coast hurricane victims a helping hand. His hand. CBS's Mark Noller is with the president in Covington, Louisiana.
With a tool belt around his waist and a hard hat on his head, President Bush gave a hand to Habitat for Humanity, building homes for some 15 families here in Covington, Louisiana. Mr. Bush was seen hammering plywood walls on the wood frame of a house intended for a family who lost its home to the wind and flooding of Hurricane Katrina.
On NBC's Today Show, the president acknowledged not responding to Katrina as well as he could have and said the government won't dictate rebuilding terms to local officials.
My message to them was, we will support the plan that you develop. The point is that it comes from the local folks.
Some of those local folks are upset that immigrants have been hired to clean up after the hurricane.
I don't know, speak English.
Yes, Honduras, El Salvador, Mexico.
WWL's Dave Cohn tells us what a civil rights leader is doing to get jobs for New Orleans natives.
After picking up displaced New Orleanians at shelters all along the I-55 corridor, the Reverend Jesse Jackson says he's bringing about 200 people home to work.
We've reduced the number because of all the politics around housing.
Jackson had hoped to bring 600 people home, but New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin warned against it.
We do not have the facilities to accommodate them. We're going to have a mess.
Nagin says he wants to put New Orleanians back to work reconstructing the city, but because so many of the homes here were destroyed, he's got to work with FEMA to find places for them to live. Dave Cohen for CBS News. New Orleans.
In South Asia, an old man prays for the earthquake dead.
People have started looting. There have been reports of shopkeepers and hungry villagers who have come down from the hills, barging into shops, breaking things up and trying to steal food.
CBS's Ranjan Gupta in Srinagar, Kashmir. Elsewhere, the search for survivors continues. Officials estimate as many as 40,000 people may have been killed. In this country, more rain and fresh floods are expected in waterlogged parts of the east. CBS's Kelly Gobiea watched the Cold River cut Keene, New Hampshire, in half.
It has completely changed the landscape the floodwaters have. You see cliffs that drop off 15 feet down to rock beds that weren't there before. You see homes perched over these cliffs.
Heavy snow in the Colorado Rockies is blamed for at least three deaths. Thousands of homes lost power. In Anaheim last night. Happy Halo fans, the Angels beat the Yankees. They'll play the White Sox for the American League pennant. Ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, S&P futures are almost 5 points higher. This is CBS News.
This is the fifth house I've sold this month. Who'd have thought?
2 years ago, this neighborhood was all potential. Now this real estate agent is selling the city's fastest growing community with help from Network Solutions. Their website design professionals helped her build a great new home online for her business.
My new website has, well, loads of charm and lots of original features.
So you'd call it a real must-see?
No, I'd call it one hot property.
Move your business to a better neighborhood. Visit NetworkSolutions.com and go farther.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Many have pondered the reason for Mona Lisa's enigmatic smile. I think the answer is, as Leonardo's model, she was just one of those lucky people who liked her job. Like the accountants at Grant Thornton. Their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Maybe that's why their clients are so passionate about them. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
good news for you. I-70 just reopened in both directions between E-470 and the Kansas border, so now you're good to go there. And that we started dealing with rocks on the highway. Caused a Jeep to roll over on Highway 6 just east of Tunnel Number 2 in Clear Creek Canyon. Crews are trying to get that all cleaned up. And then we have word of a right-lane stall northbound I-25 at Alameda. All southbound lanes of Sheridan, they've been shut down at 52nd. That's because of an injury accident there. And if you're coming out of the Thornton area, southbound I-25, now crowded from 104th to the Turnpike. Then we're slow into downtown. And around Boulder, getting word that the lights aren't working at 30th and Walnut. So expect delays there. Checking out the forecast, going to be better than yesterday with a mix of sun and clouds and highs in the 40s. Right now we're at 35 degrees. Find Rapid Screen mobile emissions testing today at US 126 and Platte River Road and Deckers, when I-25 and Thornton Parkway, Highway 58 in McIntyre and I-25 and Wolfensberger Road, also at Highway 285 in Wadsworth. And you can always learn more at aircarecolorado.com. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Something big is coming. But we can't tell until next Monday.
I'm glad we waited.
Yeah.
But I can't wait anymore.
The suspense is killing me.
Don't miss.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
Has your network become a monster? Is IT support not in your job description? Then let Computer Superheroes fight your IT battles for you. Computer Superheroes provides prompt and reasonably priced computer service and support. Computer Superheroes will respond the same day you call. If dealing with technology seems like fighting the forces of evil, call Computer Superheroes at 720-205-5250. That's 720-205-5250. Or go to computersuperheroes.com.
In the next 30 seconds, AutoGlassNational.com can help you get one of the things off your to-do list. That cracked or broken windshield in your car can be fixed today. AutoGlassNational.com is friendly, fast, and dependable. Click the banner in your player now for a fast, free quote with no obligation. You'll see the price on your screen in a few seconds. They can also help with all your residential and commercial glass needs. Let AutoGlassNational.com get that windshield off your to-do list.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? They're loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
It's that time of year again. Time to call American Exteriors at 3037 Window to replace your old drafty windows with beautiful new American Exteriors replacement windows. 25 years of superior customer service has made American Exteriors the largest window and siding company in the Rocky Mountain West. They make their windows right here in Colorado, so you're buying direct from the manufacturer, avoiding that hefty middleman markup that other window companies have to charge, and eliminating any warranty hassles. American Exteriors' beautiful windows and durable maintenance-free siding will beautify your home and save you money on your energy bill. American Exteriors. They've been manufacturing and installing quality replacement windows and siding on homes just like yours for more than 25 years. And they're committed to your total satisfaction. What are you waiting for? Call 303-7-WINDOW now to set up a friendly in-home consultation. And if you call right now, you'll get 40% off your next order. So remember,
the only number you need to know.
AM
77 window.
Not valid with other offers.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning. It's 7:06, 6 minutes after 7. High today around 49. This cloudiness out here should burn off a little bit, and we should have partly sunny skies. But bear in mind, it's cloudy here in Boulder. I don't know if it's cloudy where you are, but it's a cloudy kind of overcast day today here in the Boulder area. AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600, and it's good to have you along. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk health care with Ron Forthover, member of the board from Health Care for All of Colorado. Ron is a retired professor of biostatistics from the University of Texas School of Public Health. He has also spent time with the National Center for Health Statistics. He also ran for Congress in 2000 and for governor in 2002 for the Green Party. And we're going to talk about affordable health care, not only for Colorado, but the entire United States. But right now, and I may go back to this after talking to Ron, James Dobson's got himself in a really weird position. Now, if you haven't been following the whole Harriet Myers situation, you won't know about this. But if you have been following it, you know that James Dobson said that he knew things about Harriet Meyer that he wasn't at liberty to say, but he was assured. I'm just paraphrasing here. He was assured by Karl Rove, who called him from the White House, that Harriet Myers is okay. Last week, Dobson told listeners to his Christian-oriented radio program, when you know some of the things I know that I probably shouldn't know, that take me in the direction, you'll know why I've said with fear and trepidation that I believe that Harriet Myers would be a good justice. Well, now senators in the Judiciary Committee want to know what Dobson knows. Now, Focus on the Family founder James Dobson will take to the airwaves tomorrow and Thursday to clarify what information he got from the White House and other sources about U.S. Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers. Because Dobson has faced a barrage of media attention. I'm reading here from a Rocky Mountain News article by M.E. Spurgeonmeyer. Dobson has faced a barrage of media attention in recent days because of his tentatively endorsing Myers, just as other conservatives and evangelical Christian leaders have expressed doubts about her qualifications. Here's the crux of the whole thing. Even if James Dobson gets on tomorrow, and even if he explains or clarifies what he knows, supposedly, do you or do you not think that he should still testify under oath in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee about what he was told by Karl Rove in the White House? Or should we just take Dobson at his word? 303-713-7600. Should we just take Dobson at his word? If he clarifies or claims to clarify tomorrow and also on Thursday that, well, this is what Karl Rove called and told me, should we just take his word for it, or should he be forced to be subpoenaed by the Senate Judiciary Committee and be forced to tell under oath what was told to him by the White House? Did the White House give him some back channel kind of an idea about Harriet Myers? Was he told something about her views about, say, for instance, anti-choice as opposed to pro-choice? Do you trust James Dobson to tell the entire truth? Why would James Dobson say, when you know some of the things I know that I probably shouldn't know, what is it that he knows that we shouldn't know? That I probably shouldn't know, that take me in the direction you'll know why I've said with fear and trepidation that I believe Harriet Myers will be a good justice. What is that that he knows that we shouldn't know? And if he's been told something, doesn't the public and the Senate Judiciary Committee have a right to know what he knows? And should he be subpoenaed to testify? Or should we just allow him to get on the radio tomorrow and Thursday and try to explain himself out of this position he's got himself in? Now, Ken Salazar says that Dobson should tell whatever the White House told him. And he's not the only senator making this statement. 303-713-7600. I wonder how many of you feel as if I do. I don't trust him to get on his own radio show. I think he should testify before the Senate. What is it that he knows that the rest of us don't know? What was he told that the rest of us aren't being told? What was he told that senators on the Judiciary Committee have not been told? What was the White House telling him to assure him that Harriet Myers was okay, considering there is this huge backlash on the right about Myers? What is it that he knows? And I don't trust James Dobson. I'm sorry. All right, let's go to Bob in Arvada. Bob, you're on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Hey, Jay. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. Listen, I'm with you that I don't trust Dobson, but unfortunately, our talking about it and our giving him the podium to explain himself is giving him power to inflate himself even more in this whole debate. What I find curiously interesting is that it's going to take him 2 days on his radio broadcast to disclose what he knows and to explain in his terms what the significance is of what he knows. You know, any other of us, mere mortals, could explain it in one conversation in 5 minutes or less. So, you know, he's stretching this out to, you know, pull up his own ratings and inflate himself right there.
Is he doing it? Is that the reason he's doing it, or is he getting on hoping that he's not going to get subpoenaed because he spoke out of school and now he's gotten caught?
Well, I think that may enter into it. I have a feeling that either Schumer or someone else or Specter are going to end up subpoenaing him anyway to the Judiciary Committee.
Well, Specter's already said he's going to find out what it is, or going to try to ask Dobson about what it is that he was told. And I wonder what the White House told him, and I think that he ought to share it with not only the American public, but I think he ought to share it with the Senate Judiciary Committee under oath. I don't think we should let him be able to just explain it away on a two-episode radio show. That's too far, too serious. If he was told something by the White House, man, we ought to know what it is.
Well, here's the speculation that's rife among all the pundits, is that he was told that Myers will be a certain vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. And that's the thing that, if that is true, and if it turns out that he was assured by Roe that she's a sure vote to overturn it, then I think her nomination is doomed, because I think people will rise up in arms. The other thing is that there's this curious ambivalence that Bush has got towards her nomination. On the one hand, he can't be too certain about nominating somebody who will overturn Roe v. Wade, because if he does do that and does succeed in placing her on the court, I don't think any Republicans are going to win any offices for years to come, because people will take it out against the Republican Party. You have to understand, even though that's what his base wants, the majority of Americans don't want that.
Well, and you know, I've asked that question on the air here before. I mean, I've purposely asked, you know, for middle-of-the-road moderate Republicans to call in and ask their feelings about Roe v. Wade being overturned and how they would feel about it. And I think there's going to be a lot of them that if it does get overturned, I think there's a lot of them that are going to be angry. I think you're right about that.
I think especially the church-going moderate Republicans that are, I think, a larger silent majority than we're aware of. Once you start seeing all that coverage of the back alley abortions that end in people's deaths or maiming or disfigurement, and you start seeing media coverage of that, people have an awfully short memory when it comes to those things. And when they start seeing that coverage, they're going to rue the day that they let Myers get on the court and let their non-obstruction of Bush's choice, you know, let that carry the day.
All right, Bob. Thank you, man. Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
All right, one line open at 303-713-7600. Should James Dobson be required to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee about what he did know or what he did or did not know? What was told him? Was there some kind of backroom deal going on here where people were told, people such as James Dobson, were they given reassurances about Harriet Myers and what was told to them? Or do you trust Dobson to reveal this on his radio show for 2 days running? 303-713-7600. Hello to Bridget Nadei. Bridget Nadei of Brighton. Bridget, you're this hour's $1,000 name. Cash just for being a loyal listener to AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk. Sign up now at AM 760's company in its field. Well, it's even better. So when Superior Carpet Care has a great deal, you know it's worth it. Superior Carpet Care will clean three rooms and a hallway in your home for only $125. You heard me right. Denver's premier carpet cleaning company is offering to clean three rooms and a hall for only a hallway for only $125. And you get the great, same great service, the same quality from the company that I recommend and trust not only with your money, but my money too. Mary and I use Superior, and we'll have them back again. They are absolutely dynamite. Superior Carpet Care is a family-owned business, and they're people who care about your home. No matter who you have used before, you got to try Superior Carpet Care. You'll see and feel the difference in your carpets, and you'll always have them back. They're that good. And for $125 for three rooms and a hall, you can't beat the price to go along with their superior work. So if you need your carpets and air ducts cleaned, take my recommendation. Call Superior Carpet Care right now at 303-93-
Home, a value of $200. Learn how to save 10 to 20% in your heating bill with minor changes. Call 303-487-6880.
Sticking it to righties everywhere. J. Marvin, AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
7:19, 19 minutes after 7 on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk. Partly sunny. High today now near 49. Hopefully this cloudiness will burn off a little bit. 303-713-7600. I've got two lines open here on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk. Dobson says he's going to clarify what he meant when he said, I know that I probably shouldn't know. There are things I know. There are some things I know that I probably shouldn't know that take me in this direction. You'll know why I've said with fear and trepidation that I believe Harriet Meyer will be a good justice. Should we just leave it to Dobson to clarify that in the next couple of days, or should he have to testify in front of a Senate Judiciary Committee? Do you trust him, yes or no? 303-713-7600. And let's go to Chris from Chicago. Chris, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, thank you. First of all, of course you should testify in front of the Senate Committee, and so should Karl Rove. Number one is, what makes James Dobson more important in the Senate of the United States in knowing what the qualifications and how Harriet Meyer would vote on anything in future matters? And I think anyone that's been called by the administration should be called by the Senate to find out exactly what assurances were given to them in terms of her stances, in terms of how she would vote. You cannot believe these people. These people are think about the far right. These are the people that have killed doctors that have done abortions. So these people would do anything to change Roe v. Wade and to change the agenda to their way. And let's be honest, it would go as far as hurting people.
I wonder if this guy was just Dobson was just shooting off his mouth, and now he's gotten caught.
Well, remember, this is the same guy that said that talked about the fact of how about the whole aspects of gays and the aspects of what you should do with your young boy in terms of a father taking him into the shower and showing the manliness aspects of himself.
Right.
So, I mean, nothing would surprise me in terms of the Klan down in Colorado Springs. And that's exactly what they are, the Klan. I mean, we talk about the ultimate right-wingers, the ultimate aspect of the Muslim faith in terms of the violence aspect. I hate to say it, but this group is as far right and are similar in tone to the same people, the Muslims. And they would do, let's say, anything to change Roe v. Wade. Lie, cheat, steal. And what amazes me about this whole nomination, if everybody remembers, 4 or 5 weeks ago when Robertson was up on the Hill and discussions were going on, the whole aspect of his religion was told to be made no, it's not an issue, it's not to be a
That's
portion
right.
of this.
You're right about that.
All of a sudden, they bring up Meyer, and all of a sudden, she is a born-again Christian. She's going to follow me. She's going to do everything that I believe she would do. It's amazing how they fit the situation to their needs at the time. Double talk, double standards.
Yeah, they engage in hypocrisy.
Oh, it's unreal. It is absolutely unreal. And if the American public is not stepping back and just looking at this and not even, first of all, you want to laugh about it, I guess, number one. And then second of all, you step back and you think, my God, this is the government that's leading our people and our future. And that's what really is striking, what's scary, and what people really need to take a strong hard look at and ask themselves the question, is this the direction we want to go?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think Dobson should be required. And I'm like you. I think everybody else who Rove talked to, or who Dan Bartlett talked to, or whoever they, however they sent the messages out to try to reassure people like Pat Robertson and people like James Dobson, I think those people ought to be called to testify, because we ought to know what they know. The country deserves an answer.
I mean, when you think about it, how unprecedented is this? I mean, first of all, in any kind of a situation where a person's being nominated for such a position, it's understandable to maybe talk to people, telling them why they nominated them, et cetera. But to the extent that the administration went in terms of you know, kind of putting down the fire on the right, this is clearly absolutely unusual and unprecedented, and it needs to be investigated, because in my opinion, this is almost criminal. The old saying, is stalking the court.
Yep.
Stalking the court. This is basically doing whatever they want to do, despite, you know, irregardless of the law, irregardless of the Constitution, irregardless of the history of this nation.
I agree 100%. Thanks, Chris. Great call. All right, we got four lines open at 303-713-7600. Four lines open. So James Dobson have to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee about what he was told about Harriet Myers. After he says now that he's going to get on the radio on Wednesday and Thursday, and he's going to quote-unquote clarify what he meant when he said, when you know some of the things I know and that I probably shouldn't know that take me in this direction, you will know why I've said with fear and trepidation that I believe Harriet Myers will be a good justice. What is it that he knows that the rest of us don't know? And should he be required to sit in a public forum, such as the Senate Judiciary Committee, and be cross-examined about what he was told by Karl Rove and what he was told by the White House about Harriet Myers? Because he says he knows things that the rest of us don't know. Now he claims he's going to get on the radio on Wednesday and Thursday, and he's going to clarify this. And my question to you is that enough? Or do you think that he should have to sit down before the Senate Judiciary Committee and talk about what he was told? And as Chris in Chicago pointed out, anybody who's been talked to by the White House and told anything by Harriet Myers should have to sit down. You know, we don't know anything about this woman. And since when does Dobson get off finding out any inside information? And if there were any deals struck between the White House and Dobson, I think we have a right to know about them. Let's go to Ellen in Denver. Ellen, you're on AM 760.
Hey, good morning, Jay.
Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Thanks for giving me some comedy, because I just have these visions of something straight out of SNL. If he goes before the Senate, he'll say, God told me. That's where he got his information.
Yeah, that's right. I got it from a higher power.
Yeah, and then he'll proceed to condemn, you know, everybody to hell. Is it Republicans? Well, obviously there are Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee. What's he going to do if Republicans start coming down on him like Oprah on a ham? I mean, it's just too many comic possibilities.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to tell what he knows. I think, you know, this is either a case of, it's either a case of this. So take your choice here. It's either a case of he was told something by Karl Rove in the White House of which they would not repeat publicly, or he shot his mouth off and now he's caught and he really doesn't know anything.
And either way, it's going to be funny. I'm still dying and rolling with laughter about take your boy into the shower. I mean, gosh, he'll say anything, I guess.
Well, I mean, he's an unusually strange guy, and I know that we broadcast down there. We barely eke out a signal into the Dobson curtain down there in Colorado Springs.
The Dobson curtain.
But
I grew up in the shadow of Pat Robertson.
Well, there you go.
I used to think, you know, oh, that guy out in Colorado Springs, he's harmless. We got Patsy. And then, boy, as time has gone by, they're at least equal. Now, I don't know if they're a dead draw or if our Colorado Springs guy might even be ahead in the evil race of Pat Robertson. These people are blindingly scary.
I don't know, but either way, I think Dobson's got himself caught. I really do, and I don't think we should leave it to his Wednesday and Thursday radio show to quote-unquote explain to us what, or clarify, quote-unquote, his you know, views or what happened with this conversation. I think that he needs to go before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we need to know once and for all if he was really told something that the rest of the country and that the Senate Judiciary Committee wouldn't be privy to, or whether he just got on the radio and shot his mouth off and got tagged for it.
Well, if he was told something, even though thou shalt not lie, he won't admit it. Jesus is rolling in his grave, my friend.
It's unbelievable. And it's unbelievable that this White House would call. No, you know what it is? No, it is believable that they would call somebody like a James Dobson, who's a strong social conservative and a strong supporter of theirs, and engage in a whispering campaign about Harriet Myers, hoping to, gather strength for the nomination, which is being attacked by other right-wingers. It's just that they would do this. And don't they think that this would, you know what it is? It's like they're not using their heads. Don't they think that this would backfire on them? Or maybe they figured that Dobson would never say anything.
I've often wondered about backfiring. Anybody with half a brain could see how a lot of what this faction has been doing, wah, wah, didn't work out. Can they not think that far in advance? I mean, are they that blinded by holy fury that they can't think ahead, think long term? I hope that's the case, because that means eventually we can knock them out of power.
Well, a lot of people are making the case that since Karl Rove is under such pressure with the grand jury that he's not paying attention to business, and that the White House has lost its groove or its mojo or whatever, and that's part of the problem, that the brain is tied up with other things.
They have a brain? I'm sorry. I'm just feeling very comic this morning. Anything with James Dobson makes me laugh. I don't know. There's just something about that guy.
He's kind of a weird guy.
He is, but I should probably wake up and stop laughing, I guess. But, you know, one woman can only do so much, and I had a rough day at work yesterday, so a little bit of laughter is doing me good. And, you know, then you're talking while I'm in the shower and whatnot about a pandemic outbreak. And, you know, my theory on that is King George II would mandate a military quarantine before he would mandate drug manufacturers help the world. He won't tell American drug companies, well, just make it. We'll help you break even. Ain't going to happen.
All right, Ellen. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Ellen.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, take care. 303-713-7600. Four lines open. We got wide open phones here this morning. About James Dobson. Do you think James Dobson was telling the truth when he knows something about Harriet Myers that we don't know, or is he just kind of shooting his mouth off? Is that the case? We'll be talking health care coming up at 8 o'clock, but is that the case? And is he now trapped? And should he have to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee? 7:30 at AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Let's get a look at progressive traffic with Bailey.
Thanks, Jay. Things are moving again out east. I-70 open in both directions from E-470 over to the Kansas State line. And crews are still dealing with this rock slide, there's rocks on the highway and a rolled Jeep. Highway 6 just east of Tunnel Number 2 in Clear Creek Canyon. Now, if you're coming out of the Thornton area, south on I-25, crowded from 104th right into downtown and through T-Rex. 225 bunching up southbound from Parker Road into the Tech Center and around Boulter. Lights are out at 30th and Walnut, so expect delays there. You'll want to treat that as a four-way stop. Forecast, well, it's going to be better than yesterday. A mix of sun and clouds with highs in the 40s. Right now we're at 35 degrees. Wake up to a purpose in life. Promise Keepers Men's Conference at the Pepsi Center October 21st and 22nd. Call 800-888-7595 or visit promisekeepers.org for a special Denver 15th anniversary $20 off discount. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
It's that time of year again. Time to call American Exteriors at 3037 Window to replace your old drafty windows with beautiful new American Exteriors replacement windows. 25 years of superior customer service has made American Exteriors the largest window and siding company in the Rocky Mountain West. They make their windows right here in Colorado, so you're buying direct from the manufacturer, avoiding that hefty middleman markup that other window companies have to charge, and eliminating any warranty hassles. American Exteriors beautiful windows and durable maintenance-free siding will beautify your home and save you money on your energy bill. American Exteriors. They've been manufacturing and installing quality replacement windows and siding on homes just like yours for more than 25 years. And they're committed to your total satisfaction. What are you waiting for? Call 303-7-WINDOW now to set up a friendly in-home consultation. And if you call right now, you'll get 40% off your next order. So remember,
the only number you need to know is 303-7-WINDOW.
Not valid with other offers.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, and you're ready to do something about your poor vision, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
I will start strengthening my eyes naturally.
I will refuse the high cost of surgery.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
I will take control of my vision.
Take a stand against poor vision. Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. It's recommended by eye doctors and available without a prescription. Pick up the phone and we'll send you a free video to see this program for yourself. You deserve stronger eyes. Take a stand. Call right now for your free video to preview the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-773-3118. That's 1-800-773-3118. 1-800-773-3118.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? They're loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
Having 3,000, or they'll put down, if you put down 500, they'll put down 500, and it's like having 1,000. And at Rocky's, you can get a free pumpkin for the family, one pumpkin per family. Stop by Shaggy's pumpkin patch and pick out the pumpkin of your choice. Rocky's Autos, with a great selection of Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Nissan, Toyota, Honda, Saab, Pontiac, Volkswagen, and a whole lot more. Don't take my word for it. Check them out on the internet. Rocky's Autos, put an S after auto, rockysautos.com, and you can also get pre-qualified for a car loan. That's exactly right. You can do it online. And Rocky's Autos has the worry-free protection program from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection, and they'll cover you, too, with Carfax, which tells you everything you need to know about the vehicles that you're looking at. So Rocky's Autos is a great place to buy a car. I bought cars there. Mary and I bought cars there. John Turk, who produces this show, bought a car there. We send our friends to Rocky's, and I'm sending you to Rocky's because they're just great people. Rocky's Autos, they're open Monday through Saturday, not the jury committee, and talk about what he knows. 303-713-7600. I got two lines open, and let's go to Kitty in Thornton. Kitty, good morning. You're on AM 760.
Hi. My main thing is that he says fear and trepidation, and I really have a problem with whether or not that's fear and trepidation of Karl Rove or God. And either way, I think he should be accountable for it and talk under oath.
Yeah. What about, you know, what about the idea of not only calling him but also calling Karl Rove too?
Certainly, there would be a good one to have under oath. I don't think he'd tell the truth.
Well, you know, yeah, well, you know, but he could get caught for perjury for not telling it. So you think that Dobson ought to sit down and tell the Senate Judiciary Committee, but that we just can't trust what he says on his radio show?
Certainly I do. I feel that if you're using your pulpit while you're getting paid to lead people in one direction to vote, you should be held accountable for why you have that view.
You know, either what's going to happen is either he was really told something by the White House and we need to know what it is, or he shot his mouth off and to make himself look more important.
And if he knows something that the White House is telling, he should have to say it. And if he's just shooting his mouth off, he should get caught on that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Thanks, Kitty. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. 303-713-7600. That frees up a line. I got three lines open. And I wonder about this, whether Dobson just shot his mouth off And you know something else, too? And I haven't asked this question about the Harriet Myers situation, and I think I'll ask it now. I'll kind of work it in here. What do you think Democrats' response to Harriet Myers ought to be? Because so far, Democrats have been pretty much quiet about her. What do you think their response to her ought to be? And does, you know, is this certain that if she gets on the court, is it certain that she's going to overturn Roe versus Wade? And do we need to know that information? I think we need to know that information. But they can't ask her directly about that. Now, was James Dobson told that, yes, this is the person who's going to vote to overturn Roe versus Wade? This is the person that's going to vote just like Anthony Scalia and Clarence Thomas? Is this the person who's going to be part of that coalition of judges on the Supreme Court that will overturn Roe versus Wade? What is it that Dobson knows? And he should be sworn, be sent in front of the Senate, subpoenaed to sit down and to talk about what went on. Was the White House engaging in out-of-the-limelight backroom maneuvering to get to this woman nominated? And also, what do you think the Democratic response ought to be? 303-713-7600. Adam in Westminster. Adam, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Morning, Jay.
Hi, Adam. What do you think?
I think Dobson's kind of a dangerous man. And I think Democrats should be worried about Harriet Myers. My theory on her is that as indictments are coming up on the Republican Party, I think, you know, Bush might eventually get indicted, and he'd like to have a few friends on the Supreme Court.
I've heard that theory before. You know, you're not the first person to bring that up here on the radio station about how he's trying to stack the court so in case he needs it at a later date. You know, Harriet Myers thinks George Bush is one of the most brilliant men she's ever met.
That's pretty sad.
That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So do you think Dobson was telling the truth? Do you think he knows for a fact that Harriet Myers would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade?
I think that maybe him and Bush might have talked, and he's trying to convince the right side that she's a conservative.
All right, Adam. All right, Adam, appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
All right, let's go down to the, we got a caller behind the Dobson curtain in Colorado Springs. Rick, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I think that Dobson and the religious right down here, you know, these guys say they're Christians, but I really don't think they are. You know, they manipulate people and they lie all the time. They do whatever they got to do to make their point across. And I'll tell you what, it's deception. And George Bush is involved in it, too. You know, if this is a Christian party, how come they keep lying to the American people about everything?
Well, do you think Dobson was lying when he said that he was told something? Or do you think he's just shooting his mouth off and then got tagged for it?
He probably knows what's going on, just like George Bush. And they're just not telling the American people. You know, I'm sure that this whole thing has been behind closed doors, and this has been a setup the whole time. And we'll never get to know. You know,
how about if Dobson, as Arlen Specter indicates that he wants to call him, how about if Dobson's called before the Senate? He'll testify under oath. Then he'd have to tell the truth.
Oh, you think so? I don't think he would. I don't think he'd tell the truth.
You think he'd perjure himself?
Oh, heck yeah. These people will do whatever it takes to get their point across, you know. They'll do whatever it takes to get the right people in the right places. But they forget, you know, if they're true Christians, they're going to know they have to go in front of God someday, and they're going to have to answer for what they've done. Those, they don't even, I question the whole thing. You know, I think it's a big smoke screen. It's another smoke and mirrors thing from George Bush and Dobson and all these guys that are really just taking advantage of the American people, you know.
All right, so what should Democrats do about the Harriet Myers situation, because they've been largely quiet?
Well, I think that they have to demand answers, you know. They have got to get answers from these people because without the answers, they got to do everything they can to stop it. You know, these people not talking to the Senate committee, they have got to talk to the Senate committee. They have to let their views be known so the Senate, which is our representatives, get to decide if this person is truly qualified or not.
All right, man. Good call, Rick. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right, 303-713-7600. I've got three lines open. Hey, by the way, did you think that there was no paper trail on Harriet Myers? There is one. You are the best governor ever, deserving of great respect, Harriet Myers wrote to George W. Bush days after his 51st birthday in July of 1997. She also found him cool, she said, and his wife Laura was the greatest, and told him to keep up the great work. Texas is blessed. This comes out of the archives of papers that are being released that show that the nominee, Harriet Myers, has close personal ties with George W. Bush. Okay, we got a twofer question here going. Do you think James Dobson ought to be required to sit down in front of a Senate committee and testify under oath what it is he claims he knows that he can't talk about? He claims he's going to clarify that on his radio show coming up tomorrow on Thursday. But should we trust him or should we put him in front of a Senate committee? And what should the Democrats' response be about Harriet Myers? Because other than Harry Reid basically singing her praises, most Democrats have been quiet.
Guard Rescue. Discover a new kind of courage tonight on the Discovery Channel. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Something big is coming, but we can't do about it until next Monday.
I'm glad we waited.
Yeah.
But I can't wait anymore.
The suspense is killing me.
Don't Molson is celebrating like only they can. Click here now to find out how. Who will be the lucky winner in the Molson Money Machine? One lucky person will win the ultimate avalanche experience at Pepsi Center. Collect Molson twin labels at these bars and enter for your chance to win avalanche tickets, Molson hockey bags, Molson hockey shirts, Molson hockey mask neons, and the grand prize, the ultimate avalanche experience. Two tickets to see the Avs play Vancouver. Watch the pregame from the penalty box. And the winner will ride the Zamboni during the game. Click here now to see when Molson...
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
Has your network become a monster? Is IT support not in your job description? Then let Computer Superheroes fight your IT battles for you. Computer Superheroes provides prompt and reasonably priced computer service and support. Computer Superheroes will respond the same day you call. If dealing with technology seems like fighting the forces of evil, call Computer Superheroes at 720-205-5250. That's 720-205-5250. Or go to computersuperheroes.com.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
Worry is emotional torture. It consumes you and robs you of happiness and peace of mind. Anxiety is worry gone out of control, and you can't help it. It tears at your nerves and rips at your heart. It makes your mind race in circles and keeps you from enjoying the moment. Sometimes people turn to medication or alcohol for relief, but medications can have negative side effects, and some medications, as well as alcohol, can be addictive, causing more problems. Anxiety and the worry that goes with it ruins relationships and careers and tears families apart. And people that love you, they tell you to just stop it, that you're doing it to yourself, but you can't because you don't know how. I can show you how. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me send you a powerful free tape that will provide you with insight and hope.
For this wonderful free tape, call 1-800-550-6146. That's 1-800-550-6146.
Left side of the bed. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 747, 13 minutes in front of 8 o'clock. The Be the Change people. Boy, they're great folks. All right, we got partly sunny skies today and a high of 49. 303-713-7600. I got two lines open. James Dobson said the other day on his radio broadcast that I know some things. When you know some things that I know that I probably shouldn't know that take me in this direction, you'll know why I've said with fear and trepidation that I believe Harry and Myers will be a good justice. Now, Dobson claims he's going to clarify these remarks on the Wednesday and Thursday's radio show of his. But my question is, do we take his word for it, or do we call him before, or should he be called, because we don't have the power to do it, but should he be called before the Senate Judiciary Committee and put under oath and ask what it was that the White House told him about Harry and Myers? And then the other thing is, what should be the Democratic response to Harry and Myers? So far, other than Harry Reid, most of the Democrats have been quiet. 303-713-7600. Let's go to Dan in Loveland. Dan, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, what do you think, Dan?
I wanted to address myself to the second question, what the Democrats should do about the nomination.
Sure, go ahead.
I think what they have to always bear in mind is who is going to be nominated should Harriet Myers be defeated. Harriet Myers is, to some degree, an unknown quantity, although every effort should be made to find out what kind of person she really is and what her qualifications are. But if she is defeated, the question is, who will Bush then appoint? And the answer may well be one of the right-wing women who belong to the Federalist Society, who swear that they're going to change not only Roe versus Wade, but the whole American Constitution.
You're talking about somebody like Janice Rogers Brown, for instance.
I am indeed. And those people wait in the wings. And that's why the right-wing, a lot of the right-wing is very hostile to the Myers appointment, because they don't know what Myers is going to do. And they're concerned about that. They're concerned that she's a ABA lawyer, one of those people who can be persuaded that this is right instead of what they originally thought. And they don't want anybody like that. They want somebody who knows by God what's right and is going to do it no matter what the reason, no matter what the arguments, no matter what the facts of the case.
Well, they don't want another David Souter. They don't want somebody who'll get on the bench and change.
Well, David Souter, I don't know that he got on the bench and changed. That's all we said. We're always said these are the liberals on the court. The fact are, these are the conventional lawyers on the court. People who respect stare decisis, people who want to look at the facts of the case, people who are trying to make sense of the law, not adopt their own policy.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with that. I mean, and it's obvious that they want somebody who's going to vote their way. They want somebody who will be like Scalia and like Thomas. But what should the Democrats' response be? Should they just because so far they've been pretty quiet, and most of the uprising has been on the part of the right.
I think they should be quiet, but I think they should dig deeply in these hearings. I think they should subpoena both Rove and Dobson, and I think they should try to find out what assurances are given to these people that she will vote to overturn Roe versus Wade or whatever. I think they should be very skeptical. But I think they should keep their mouth shut and keep their powder dry and wait to decide which way to vote.
You think Dobson really was told something by Karl Rove? Do you think he's just out there shooting his mouth off and he got tagged for it?
No, I think he was really told something. Now, what would persuade Dobson may be something that wouldn't be all that shocking. You know, maybe Karl Rove told him he had a prayer session with her and he was absolutely certain that God was telling her what to do about abortion. I don't know what he told her, but certainly he told her something. He told him something.
Yeah, well, then I think that whatever Rove told him, I think that the rest of the nation in the Senate ought to find out about it, don't you?
I do, and I think we ought to subpoena him. I don't think we ought to depend upon his radio broadcast to give us the explanation.
Yep, I'm with you, Dan, 100%. Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
Okay, 303-713-7600, three open lines. And let's go to James in Boulder. James, you're on AM 760. Good morning. James is gone. All right, so the question is here, would you believe anything James Dobson told you? Or do you think that he should be put under oath and have it compelled? Because I'd love to know what Karl Rove told him. I'd love to know what was told. Because it might explain to a certain degree about Harriet Myers. And it might explain something that we just don't know about her. And I'd love to know what Dobson was told. I'd like to know what other conservative leaders were told as well, because most of the static towards Harriet Myers is coming from the right. The left has been pretty much quiet about this. Let's go to Dave in Denver. Dave, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, I don't think there's any question that James Dobson is capable of lying. All you have to do is take a look at some of the trash that they put out in their political campaigns. These people are politicians. They're not Christians. They use Christianity as a political tool. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to find out that he was lying. I think if you look back, remember Pat Robertson talking about his meeting with Bush, where Bush told him that there would be no casualties in the war in Iraq?
And oh, Bush, you know what? I do remember that.
Yeah, same thing. So either Bush, the born-again Christian, is lying, or Pat Robertson, the born-again Christian, is lying. And I think if you look at their political campaigns, you can find lots of lies. Being a gay person, I've seen them put out tons and tons of trash material full of lies.
Well, they're definitely gay bashers, there's no question.
In their gay bashing campaigns, for instance, we all make twice as much money as the average person while having 500 sexual partners per year and suffering from AIDS, all those things really very difficult to do at the same time. But they don't mind putting out lies to further their political goals. So this would be nothing new. I don't think there's any question at all.
You know, I think it'd be great if he got subpoenaed in front of the Senate, sat down and couldn't answer the question because he was never told anything, or at least he was never told anything of a private nature. So, you know, he would have to sit down there and he would have to clarify what he said on that radio show. And he claims he's going to do that on Wednesday and Thursday. But if the Senate didn't take his word for it, and so then he had to sit down and he had to testify under oath. And then if he had nothing to say because he wasn't really told anything and he was just shooting his mouth off, can you imagine what a huge embarrassment that would be?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see it. And I hope they will subpoena him. It's about time they made him put up or shut up. And it'll be interesting. I think the American people deserve to know what this administration is telling its lobbyists.
What it's telling its base, its conservative base, because it's the base that's angry at Bush over Harriet Myers. Yeah. But you know, they don't know anything more about her than we know about her.
I think they do. The religious right you're talking about?
Yeah.
Or,
unless they were told something by the White House, and then I think that if they were, if Karl Rove was sitting there making a series of phone calls, then Rove ought to be subpoenaed to go in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and to talk about what he was told or what he was telling these people.
Yeah, I hope they manage to force something out, and then we can find out which born-again Christian is telling the lies. I don't think it really matters because they both sides do. I see no difference between President Bush and James Dobson. They're both politicians. They're both very powerful and very wealthy, and they've gotten that way using Jesus Christ as a marketing tool.
You know, though, I'm not so sure Bush is that religious. I don't know if that's just a show or if he really does feel that way.
He uses it as a tool. He uses religion to get money from the right-wing lobbying groups.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. Yeah, it is interesting. He claims he's a born-again Methodist. He changed the Methodist church because of his wife, and yet he still goes to the Episcopal church. He goes to St. John's. I'm an Episcopalian, so I know the Episcopal scene pretty well. He was raised in the Episcopal church. That's the one with the gay bishop, by the way. And he goes to St. John's across from the White House more than he goes to any Methodist church. So,
because just because you go to church doesn't necessarily... I mean, how do we know he doesn't do that for show?
Right. Oh, yeah, there's an old saying that says going to a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. But, you know, I think where you go does at least show who you identify with as far as the political agenda of each denomination.
All right, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm on my way to work, but... I'm an airline pilot now. I was a corporate pilot before, and I used to fly people in $40 million jets into Washington, D.C., and I worked for a large pharmaceutical company whose name I can't mention. But my boss would show up in his Gulfstream in Washington, D.C., with a pocket full of checks, and he would talk about it. And what they do is they go in and bribe and buy their way through the Congress. They don't care, Republican or Democrat. Whatever administration's in power, although Republicans get probably 60% of their money, and they get exactly what they want. So someone earlier was talking about what it will take to get the drug companies to make more vaccine. I think you're exactly right. The drug companies control the government more than the government controls the drug companies. They get everything they want. If you look at the Medicare bill, it was written by the drug companies for the drug companies, basically. So I wouldn't hold my breath for them to spring forth with the vaccines, because they don't make money. And, of course, it's all about money, because how else are you going to pay for the $40 million Gulfstream?
Yeah, they make all they make that vaccine, and then if it doesn't, it turns out that either the vaccine is wrong or the pandemic never hits, then they're stuck with all this vaccine on the shelf, and they've lost money. So there's no money in it for them to engage in making the vaccines, no matter how much Bush has meetings with them, and no matter how many times he gets together with them.
Yeah, you can make a lot more money giving the average male a better erection than you can making vaccine.
Yep, that's exactly true. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about health care. We're going to talk to Dr. Ron, a member of the board, a member of board from Health Care for All of Colorado. And we'll do that coming up next.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
If you're into eBay or just want to make an unbelievable amount of money selling stuff on the Internet, then grab a pen to write down a number that could change your life forever.
So far I've done 100,000 in gross sales.
Everything you need to get started making money on the Internet, including the Internet's largest marketplace, eBay, is on a free CD from Internet Speedway. Generate massive cash selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. You may never have to work in an office again. Instead, you can put up your feet while your computer becomes a money-making machine.
I was able to quit my 9-to-5 with the money I make now.
Now I have my own successful online business. It's already brought in over $175,000 for me.
The Internet Speedway system could change your life forever. For your free CD on how to make money on the Internet, including sites like eBay, call 1-800-226-9008. But when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-226-9008. 1-800-226-9008.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs, that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
It's that time of year again. Time to call American Exteriors at 3037 Window to replace your old drafty windows with beautiful new American Exteriors replacement windows. 25 years of superior customer service has made American Exteriors the largest window and siding company in the Rocky Mountain West. They make their windows right here in Colorado, so you're buying direct from the manufacturer, avoiding that hefty middleman markup that other window companies have to charge, and eliminating any warranty hassles. American Exteriors' beautiful windows and durable maintenance-free siding will beautify your home and save you money on your energy bill. American Exteriors. They've been manufacturing and installing quality replacement windows and siding on homes just like yours for more than 25 years. And they're committed to your total satisfaction. What are you waiting for? Call 303-7-WINDOW now to set up a friendly in-home consultation. And if you call right now, you'll get 40% off your next order. So remember,
the only number you to know it's 3037 Window.
Not valid with other offers.
Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Andy Rose, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy. Now more progressive. KKCN Thornton Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedetano. President Bush grabs a hammer and pitches in to help a family whose home was ruined by Hurricane Katrina.
How you doing?
The president was in Covington, Louisiana this morning working alongside Habitat for Humanity volunteers. On NBC's Today show, the president conceded he could have done a better job of responding to the hurricane.
If I didn't respond well enough, we're going to learn the lessons. If there's any mistakes made at the federal level, I, of course, accept responsibility for them.
The president says Gulf Coast hurricane victims are beginning to realize there's hope. He says the government won't dictate rebuilding terms to state and local officials. Health Secretary Mike Leavitt is in Asia on a bird flu fact-finding trip. Live to CBS's Dan Revive.
Just off the phone with Leavitt, who's in Cambodia with other U.S. health officials. Leavitt says
the signs are troubling.
Avian flu continues to spread from bird to bird. It has arrived in Europe, and with 65 humans dead so far in Asia, we need
the capacity to identify when a disease has begun to spread at the earliest possible moment.
There's not enough antiviral medicine. As for a preventive vaccine, production's being stepped up, but Secretary Leavitt says
the virus is constantly mutating.
Live in Washington, Dan Revive, CBS News.
In South Asia, some desperate earthquake survivors have taken to looting supply trucks. Others are mourning the dead. Estimates of the death toll range as high as 40,000. British rescuer John Holland was able to save one life.
We found the little boy first, and we encouraged him to crawl towards us. He was untrapped, fortunately, and I encouraged him to crawl towards me in an 18-inch void, and I managed to crawl back with him in my arms.
Torrential rain now is grounding some helicopters and slowing the relief effort. Air Force personnel are getting new marching orders to fill in as prison guards and supply truck gunners in Iraq. CBS News military consultant Perry Smith.
It is something that requires some additional training and longer tours. Most Air Force people go over to Iraq for 4 months tours, and many of these people will be going over for a full 12 months.
4 days ahead of Iraq's constitutional referendum, insurgent bombs killed more than 40 people in Iraq in the town of Tal Afar. The well-heeled New Jersey scientist who reportedly spent $20 million for a ride to the International Space Station is back on planet Earth. Gregory Olson, returning astronaut William MacArthur, and Russia's Valery Tokarev touched down in Kazakhstan a few hours ago.
I feel great. I can't wait to walk around and have some real food and take a shower.
Parts of the East are in for more showers, still trying to dry out from a weekend deluge. Colorado Rockies, as much as 20 inches of heavy wet snow is too much for tree limbs to take. They've been snapping off. Power lost to thousands of homes. In early Wall Street trading, the Dow Industrials are up around 50 points. NASDAQ is ahead a little bit more than one. This is CBS News.
Hi, it's Carol again from Life Quotes with an important life insurance announcement. If you have elevated cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and other illnesses, we want you to know that life insurance rates have never been lower than they are right now. We know because we track the rates of over 60 leading life insurance companies. To request a free price comparison report, call 1-800-640-LIFE. That's 1-800-640-LIFE or visit us online at lifequotes.com.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds. Report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score when you sign up for a 30-day credit monitoring trial at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
We are seeing some trouble in Aurora, southbound 225. Jammer from Colfax, that's through the crash near Mississippi. Only the shoulder getting by right now, so some pretty heavy delays. It's also affecting your northbound drive because of Curiosity. Now, if you're coming out of the Thornton area, southbound I-25, usual slowing from 104th into downtown and through T-Rex. I-70, a little sluggish from Pecos over to Brighton Boulevard. And things are moving again out east on I-70. Reopened from E-470 over to the Kansas State line. Now, crews are dealing with this rock slide still, and a Jeep rolled over on the highway. It's Highway 6, just east of Tunnel Number 2 in Clear Creek Canyon. Checking out the forecast, going to be nicer than yesterday. Mix of sun and clouds today with highs in the 40s. Right now we're at 35 degrees. Find rapid screen mobile emissions testing today at US 126 on Platte River Road in Deckers, I-25 in Thornton Parkway, Highway 58 in McIntyre, I-25 in Wolfensberger Road, and Highway 285 in Wadsworth. And you can always learn more at aircarecolorado.com. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Something big is coming, but we can't put it until next Monday.
I'm glad we waited.
Yeah.
But I can't wait anymore.
The suspense is killing me.
Don't miss a major announcement for
865-6805 or visit rethinkrecycling.org. Rethink Recycling. It's easier than ever.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 8:06, 6 minutes after 8, partly sunny today and a high of 49, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you, and it's nice to have you along. Dr. Ron Porthover is a member of the board from Healthcare for All of Colorado. Ron is a retired professor of biostatistics from the University of Texas School of Public Health. He also spent time in the National Center for Health Statistics, and he also ran for Congress in 2000 and for governor in 2002 for the Green Party. And Dr. Porthover, welcome to AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Hi, Jay. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's nice to have you on. Okay, let's talk here a little bit about healthcare. We got, you know, healthcare seems to have been pushed to the back burner, basically because of all of the other things that seem to be going on. But we have 45 million Americans in this country who have no health insurance, and then there's an even larger number, I think, that are underinsured. How do we deal with this problem?
That's a good question. Based on my experience in this field for a long time, I think the idea that we can use Band-Aids as a solution just does not hold water. And we really have to have radical surgery. We really have to change the whole system around. And I think people who studied this have come to the conclusion that we have to follow what the experiences of other countries and have some sort of national system.
You know, we have one of the most expensive healthcare systems in the world, and we do not get much bang for our buck when it comes to this.
Exactly. We're spending roughly about 14% to 15% of our gross domestic product on healthcare. Other countries around the world spend anywhere from 6% to 10% or 11%. And if you look at the healthcare outcomes in these other countries, they have the two measures that people use generally to compare systems are life expectancy and infant mortality rates. And we have worse results on both life expectancy and infant mortality rates than these other countries who are paying far less for healthcare than we do.
And yet it seems that there seems to be no answer in sight other than what? To go to a universal healthcare?
Well, Congress and the media seem generally to try and downplay the whole idea of any sort of national system. They just want to continue tinkering. And but the public, 80% of the public, says they're willing to support a government-run system, even if it requires more tax money spent on it, to cover everybody in this country so that the public feels that we need to have a universal system, yes. But the leaders in Congress and the media do not feel this way at all.
Well, how would a universal system work?
Well, the main advantage of a universal system is that everybody is covered and it's in a single pool. In this country, we've designed a system that is designed to fail, if you will, because we split up our national pool into over 1,200 different health insurance pools because we have that many health insurance companies in the country. And as a result, we have gross inefficiency built into the system. And if you're a health insurance company, how do you make money? Well, you want your premiums to be greater than your outflow. So you try and deny people the care that they need, and you also try and avoid covering the people that actually have the need for health care.
And what about preventive medicine?
Well, preventive medicine is greatly downplayed. My background is in public health, and it seems like we spend less than 1% of our money on public health, 99% of the money on the curative part of the healthcare system. And if we would put more effort into prevention, I think we'd see a great return on that money. But the private system just does not seem to really appreciate the idea of prevention.
Big why? Because there's more money there's more money in illness?
Well, there's more money in illness, but if you're an HMO and you put money into prevention, and then because the health insurance is linked through your employer system, if your employer next year finds that there's another company offering lower premiums, well, the money that the previous HMO has put into the prevention, now the benefit of that goes to the other company. So HMO is saying, well, prevention is a good idea, but if we're not going to reap the benefit of it, let's not do it.
So we're kind of stuck with this system that costs a lot of money but lacks in efficiency. And I've understood that as far as, like, for instance, infant mortality rates, that we have a higher infant mortality rates in some third world countries.
Yeah, we have an embarrassing situation. Japan has probably about the lowest, and they're roughly around 3.2 infant deaths per 1,000 live births, and we're over double that. We're over 7 infant deaths per 1,000 live births.
And how much does Japan spend of on health care?
Japan spends probably about 8% or 9% of their gross domestic product versus our 15%. So, yeah, not where we want to be at all.
No, it's very frustrating. But yet, do you really think we could ever get a single-payer government system in here with the power of the drug companies and the health insurance companies?
Well, I think actually the HMOs and private insurance systems have been our greatest benefit and advantage in a sense, because what they've done is through their managed care approaches, emphasizing the bottom line, they manage costs, they don't manage care. Emphasizing the bottom line, they have angered so many people and made people aware that they are being ripped off. People are paying more and getting less all the time. So as long as people are beginning to wake up, and more people are waking up to this, there is a chance, I think, that people power and grassroots movement will bring it about. It will not come from the top. It has to come from the bottom.
Yeah, because these health insurance companies spend a lot of money. The insurance companies spend a lot of money in lobbying.
Yeah, it's not just the health insurance companies either. It's also the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
And also the AMA. Even though there are more and more physicians waking up to this and demanding universal health care and beginning to realize that the single-payer approach is the way to go, the AMA as an organization still opposes this as well.
Why does the AMA oppose it?
Well, I think that they've been concerned about the Big Brother idea, that the government would tell them what to do. And while they were focusing so much on the government, they have overlooked the fact that now it's the health insurance industry and the HMOs that are telling them what to do. So they've lost their autonomy that they were trying to protect. But they haven't come to the conclusion that the government would be better.
But, boy, getting them and the pharmaceutical companies out of the way, that's a tall order.
It sure is. I mean, that's why there's been efforts to try and do things at the state level, because we felt that at the federal level, based on the attempt under the Clinton administration to do something, we saw the power of the health insurance industry. So we thought maybe the states could serve as experiments. But the health insurance industry money, pharmaceutical industry, and the AMA also get involved at the state level as well.
So do you think you can change this at the state level? Do you think that's the way to go? That would be the first thing to do?
Well, in 1994, California, which has an economy that would be big enough that people would have to pay attention to, tried to do this, and they got outspent like 10 to 1. Every attempt at the state level has been defeated by money, with only one state coming close, and that was Massachusetts. They lost by 52 to 48% on trying to get a single-payer system involved. So I think it's really very tough. I personally think you need to have a large economy so that you can actually take advantage of the economy of scale that would be necessary. So I have mixed emotions right now. I really think it makes most sense to do it at the national level.
But even as I bring it up again, I mean, boy, talking about doing it at the national level, do you think we'd ever get a Congress that would ever go along with this?
Well, if Congress would pay attention to the wishes of the people, and if enough people made this their issue and said that we are not going to vote for you unless you support this issue, Congress would pay attention. But it's certainly a tough battle. But again, I think as time progresses and as the system continues to deteriorate, and I'm doing it injustice in a sense calling it a system because it's just a chaotic mess right now. There was a study done in 2002 by the National Academy of Sciences that said the system is in crisis and it, you know, it's going to get worse, and it is getting worse. So I think it's, you know, we're in a situation where the people have to rise up and demand it. That's the only way. Again, Congress is not going to do it unless there's all kinds of intense pressure put upon them. So it's up to us and the grassroots to do it.
All right, Dr. Ron Forthover, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Jay. It's a pleasure.
All right, there's Dr. Ron Forthover, and we're talking about health care. Coming up at 8:60 minutes after 8 at AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk. We're going to open phones early. Anything you want to talk about at 303-713-7600 on AM 760 Boulder's Progressive. And see me. Foot Effects is the place to go if you're an active adult, a runner, a jogger, or if you're on your feet all day at work. Foot Effects is the place to go if you suffer from chronic foot, leg, or back pain. It could be because you're not wearing the right type of shoes, or maybe you need arch supports and never really realized it. Foot Effects will conduct a foot pressure analysis on your feet to determine whether you need arches or whether you need a different kind of shoe. And Foot Effects has a wide selection of shoes, especially designed for diabetics as well. Foot Effects, if you're on your feet all day, or if you're an active adult, if you run, if you jog, you got to have the proper footwear. And during their grand opening celebration now through October the 14th, Foot Effects is giving AM 760 listeners a 20% off any purchase. 20% off. So call Foot Effects at 1-866-888-886-FOOT or stop by the new store. This is where I'm going to be, this in Westminster at 120th and Sheridan next to the Chipotle. So stop by there because I'm going to be there Friday between 11 and 1. Online, you can check out Foot Effects.
If your home, a value of $200, learn how to save 10 to 20% in your heating bill with minor changes. Call 303-487-6880.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's Jay Marvin, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Boulder's Progressive Talk. Partly cloudy today and a high of 49. 303-713-7600. One line open. You want to talk about health care or anything else, we'll do it at 303-713-7600. When will we have health care in this country? When will everybody have health care in this country? Never in my lifetime, says God. Okay, let's get on the phones and go to Greg in Arvada. Greg, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, I don't think in my lifetime either was for the health care. But I had a friend who claims that Bush is no longer an Episcopalian. He's a Peckopalian.
Yeah. Does that lead to another word that I'm thinking of?
Right. It's Episcopalian with a piss scared out of him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, he's politically weak right now. There's no question about that.
Well, if you get a couple of GOP that in the Congress that care about life after Bush and hope to have any political life, I think he could be impeached in the next couple of years.
Well, if you could change the makeup of the House of Representatives around, yeah, you probably could make that happen. But I don't know if it's possible for us to pick up, or the Democrats to pick up that many seats in 06. We're certainly going to pick up some Senate seats, and we'll pick up some House seats. But I think there's something like only 18 House seats up for grabs. Is what I understand. So we'd have to make significant gains before you'd ever be able to get him to be impeached. Boy, you'd think that these people would run away from him the way things have been going lately.
Exactly. Do you think that there's any Republican that wants to go down on the sinking Bush ship?
It shocks me. I don't think so, but you just never know. Now, you get two different stories depending on who you talk to. For instance, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky says, for instance, on the Harriet Meyer situation, that he is going to deliver all 55 Republican senators. But now the Washington Times had an article yesterday, I guess it was, where, and bear in mind that's a right-wing paper, but owned by Reverend Moon, but they had it saying that there was a split.
I think that's a joke. I think that's just a con.
Do you think in the end they'll all line up?
Yep, I do. Almost all.
Well, You line up behind Harriet Myers, you support Bush's agenda, that's associating with Bush. I would think with the midterm elections coming up, they'd want to run the other way.
I don't know. I think this Dobson thing is going to be interesting to hear.
Yeah, I think it's going to be real interesting here because, you know, we're going to find out whether he really was told something if they subpoena him. We're going to find out if he really was told something or if he was just getting on his radio broadcast and shooting his mouth off.
Yeah, you know, but I think, once again, these people seem to cover each other's rear ends quite effectively, or they have so far.
Well, I don't know. It seems like it's coming unraveled for Karl Rove and for Scooter Libby, doesn't it?
I hope so. Any day, I'm hoping to hear.
Yeah, me too, man.
Have a good day, Jay.
Okay, Greg, take care.
You too.
Let's go to Dr. Joe in Aurora. Dr. Joe, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate everything you do for us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being out there.
I just want to talk a little bit about health care since
I'm directly
involved. Basically, our system is definitely sick and in need of a lot of help. I was in practice in Boulder County for many, many years, and I actually had to leave my practice, which was full, as an obstetrician gynecologist. And the reason I left my practice, I left the state for a couple of years and came back and took an employed position with the hospital. The reason I left my practice was because of the managed care environment. Physicians were squeezed just like patients were being ripped off. So were physicians, and obviously still are. We were getting, if we were lucky, we were getting 50 cents on the dollar for reimbursement for the work that we did, and we have to fight for every penny of that and have to have extra staff just to be able to try and get reimbursed. And physicians have gotten to a point now, and I've seen it firsthand, where a patient will come into the office and they'll start thinking about what kind of surgery can they do so that they can make the nut, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, when I practiced in Wyoming for a couple of years and had a physician join me in practice there, and she moved from California, she sat me down when she first came and said, Joe, this is what you do. First, when the patient comes in, you do the DNC, then you have her come back and you do the laparoscopy, and then you have her come back and you do the hysterectomy. You get three surgeries out of this patient. I actually had a female physician tell me this, and I said, I'm out of here. Goodbye. But it really is a very difficult situation because we have the insurance companies now who are dictating everything. They're dictating everything patient-wise. They're dictating everything physician-wise.
So what is the answer? Is national health care the answer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we need to... I don't see it happening in my lifetime.
Mine
really
either.
Don't. The pharmacies are too strong and the HMOs are too strong. When you have CEOs of HMOs making $24 million a year, you know, that's where the profit's going. You know, we're paying all this, you know, you're talking to the physician who I very much appreciated what he had to say. But when you're talking about the fact that we're spending 15% of our growth on health care and other countries are getting as good or better results spending that, the difference in that is really going to pharmaceutical companies and managed care, the insurance companies. And as an OBGYN, the insurance companies were basically getting us from both ends. We were paying very high malpractice premiums in addition to getting very low reimbursements for our work. So I think that's probably part of the reason that the AMA is they need to change their views because their physicians are basically getting shafted.
Well, we need it. We need it, but we're never going to get it within our lifetimes. I'm convinced of it because you can't get the pharmaceutical companies and you can't get the big insurance companies out of the way. You can't get them out of Washington, and that's the problem. You know, they sit there on K Street and lobby like there's no tomorrow.
That's right. And, you know, the way I've had to deal with it is basically I work for a hospital. I take care of all the indigent patients that come in, a lot of undocumented Hispanics, people who have no physician, and these people, and a lot of people who are poor. And as a hospital-employed physician, that's my job, is so that the private physicians don't have to take care of them. They don't want to. We take care of them. These people come in very, very sick. They haven't had any care. And by the time we see them, they're very sick. And it's unfortunate that our system is such that we allow people to get that sick. And then in a private practice, which I recently started on a part-time basis, I'm not taking insurances. And that's going to be for people who can afford a different type of health care. But, you know, it's like trying to work the system where in a private practice, patients will come in, they'll pay their fee, then they'll submit their own insurance, and I won't get involved with it. And by doing that, though, I was able to figure out, gee, I can spend an hour and do preventive medicine and spend an hour with every patient and really work on prevention.
My dentist is like that. The dentist I go to is exactly like that. You pay the fee, and then you handle the insurance yourself.
Right. And that's the way it has to be for me in a private practice. Otherwise, there's no way I can make it. I was doing 24/7 for 2 years, had a full practice. And if I spent too much time with patients, I made no money. And I had a moonlight, actually, in order to pay my mortgage. And my practice barely paid for itself.
Oh, boy. That's just criminal.
Yeah, it is criminal. And that's what, you know, it's all about big money. That's what this government's all about. Who buys the government? Who pays the big money? And right now, the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies are extremely powerful, and physicians and patients have no power at all, and it's a very abusive system.
Yeah, it definitely is. Doctor, thank you so much, man, for the call. Really appreciate your input.
Okay, thank you, Jay.
Sure, you bet. And I remember a time when the Golden Rule Insurance Company, which was a big contributor to Newt Gingrich, basically wanted to abolish the FDA. I remember that. It was not too long ago. It was like about, what, maybe 4 years ago? 303-713-7600, one line open here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. We can talk about health care or anything else that may be on your mind here this morning on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Disturbing story about the Pentagon wanting to spy on American citizens. I'll give you that after the traffic. But right now at 829, 29 minutes after 8, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Let's take a look at progressive traffic in Bailey.
Thanks, Jay. Trouble in Aurora right now. It's southbound 225. We're jammed from Colfax West to the crash near Mississippi. It looks like that's sitting in the median, but also slowing down your northbound drive because of curiosity. Now, if you're coming in from Thornton, it's slow into downtown I-25 if you're headed southbound. Westbound I-70, as you're seeing brake lights between Peoria and Havana, and the turnpike still a little slow eastbound from Federal over to Pecos. Now looking at the forecast, going to be nicer than yesterday. Mix of sun and clouds for the day and highs around 40. Right now we're at 35 degrees. Tonight on the Discovery Channel, meet the men who battle the blaze on Firehouse USA at 8. At 9, Micro tackles the jobs you'd never want on Dirty Jobs, then go head-to-head with Katrina on the premiere of SOS Coast. Discover a new kind of courage tonight on the Discovery Channel. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
Over the last 2 years, over 40,000 people have packed the Colorado Convention Center for the Gears, Games, and Gadgets Expo.
G3.
This November 12th and 13th, join satisfied exhibitors like Mile High Culligan, Dunright Kitchens, Lasting Impressions, Bill Sports Collectibles, and many others by becoming an exhibitor at G3 2005, November 12th and 13th at the Colorado Convention Center. To reserve your booth, call 303-713-8343 today or get more info at g3denver.com.
Morning, the American Equity Mortgage Spokes Dog here. Chasing a great interest rate is like chasing your tail. Fun, but in the end you're tired and you look a little foolish. Here's everything you need to know.
Fixed rate of 5.25 at American Equity Mortgage. Call 303-290-1000. 5.25 fixed rate could be here today, gone tomorrow. Call 303-290-1000. APR 5.691. Rate subject to change. A Tom Martino referral member.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
In the next 30 seconds, AutoGlassNational.com can help you get one of the things off your to-do list. That cracked or broken windshield in your car can be fixed today. AutoGlassNational.com is friendly, fast, and dependable. Click the banner in your player now for a fast, free quote with no obligation. You'll see the price on your screen in a few seconds. They can also help with all your residential and commercial glass needs. Let AutoGlassNational.com get that windshield off your to-do list.
Passionate about the automobiles they sell. And what does that translate out to for you? That translates out to you that you get treated the way you should, and that they take the extra time to make sure that that you understand what's going on, and that they show you the car that you really, really want. Rockies has been family-owned and operated since 1982, and they're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. These are my friends, man. I love the people at Rockies. And you know they're big of AM 760. And you can check them out on the web, on the Internet, at Rockies Autos, put an S, after auto, so it's RockiesAutos.com, and even get pre-qualified for a car loan. Rocky, let's go to Kurt in Fort Collins. Kurt, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Morning, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How about you?
Good. I got an article here that I read in the paper about Medicare premium increases might be interested to people out there. Maybe the people that are in the Medicare status and people that are going to be coming along to get into it. It says in Washington, Medicare monthly premiums will increase 13% to $88.50 starting in 2006, according to Bush administration officials. The increase will be in addition to the new prescription drug coverage, estimated to average $32 a month for those who sign up for the drug coverage.
Now, is this Medicare or Medicaid?
This is Medicare.
Yeah, they want to. One of the things that they had talked about was delaying that prescription program because of how much it would cost, because it cost way more than the administration told us it was going to cost.
Exactly.
The administration lied to us about that. See, that's another lie that people, that the administration has told that people don't bother to bring up. What did they say it was going to be? I can't remember. But whatever the figure was, it turned out to be way higher than that. What, it turned out to be $800 million or something like that? And they said it was only going to be five or six? I can't remember.
Something like that, but they continue on with this, and they say the premiums will be deducted from retiree Social Security payments. The basic Medicare premium has increased 51% from 2003 to 2006. Medicare official Herb Kuhn said, Medicare needs to move away from a system that pays simply for more services, regardless of their quality or impact on beneficiary health. The current system is not sustainable. The Bush administration has endorsed the idea of pay for performance and is searching for ways to measure doctors' performances in treating Medicare patients and the subject.
That is, you know, that's just this administration. What does this administration care about except its rich friends and defense contractors? I don't know what the administration care. I don't know what their agenda is. I don't know what they care about. I mean, that's all they care about. They care about taking care of their friends. And basically, they don't give a damn about the average person. Kurt, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
And they show that. They just show that every time. They show that every single time. You know, and that they want to always attack these so-called quote-unquote entitlement programs, which is where they want to gut stuff, but they never want to. But they never met a defense contractor they don't want to throw money at. 303-713-7600, two lines open. Let's go to Paul in Kittredge. Paul, you're on AM 760.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
All right, Paul, what's up?
Hey, I just got an example about the insurance companies. My son, who's actually 9 months old today,
happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. He was born kind of early and had what's called an overactive pancreas, which is pretty much what produces your insulin. But his was overproducing, which causes him to, or doing just the opposite of what happens to a diabetic.
Right.
Now, he was into this, and the first couple days they prescribed a specific type of medication for him, his oral medication, and it seemed to help to work it out. Well, we got it to where he was, we got him home and everything on this medication, and we went back for a few other checkups. And remember, this is something that happened from within the first couple days, that he needed this specific type of medication. Well, we went back for a checkup, and the doctor said, yeah, we need to get you another prescription, but the insurance company doesn't want to prescribe it or doesn't think it's necessary. My doctor, our doctor at the time, who, you know, I thank him a lot, he ended up having to lie to the insurance company just so they'd give us this prescription that they've been given to us since he was born. Basically said, if you don't give us this prescription, we're going to have to go in and operate. So the insurance company went, oh, wait a minute, go ahead and give them this prescription because the operation would have cost so much more.
Yeah, that's a scary situation when insurance companies are making medical calls like that, you
mm-hmm.
know what?
No, it's absolutely terrifying. I got, how irate I got. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, these guys are nothing more than vampires that they're sucking off the elderly. They're sucking out of people like us. And I paid my insurance. I pay my darn taxes. I got some jerk telling me my son doesn't really need this. That's sitting behind a desk just drives me. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I know it. It's terrible that they should make those decisions. I think I told the story on the air here of why I went to the hospital and I was in for like 6 days and I had this very serious neck operation and they wanted me to leave. They want to kick me out of the hospital. And so I just said, fine, I'll go home and recuperate. But you got somebody sitting there, looking at graphs and charts and looking at statistics who's making the call about medicine. I mean, it's just, it's infuriating because it's just not right, man.
Well, I totally agree. Yeah, and this went on for 3 weeks. When we finally got him home, imagine your son. You're the proudest papa around. You find out he has this problem. It's something that's curable. It's no big deal. I mean, it is at the time. I didn't sleep for 3 weeks, not literally. I didn't eat. And then I got an insurance company saying, I can't do this. Not to raise any black flags or anything, but, I mean, I don't understand. I can understand now why people get so irate where things can happen, that shouldn't happen. I'm not going to even use the example. It's a bad one, but it's to the point where I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, and this insurance company, this insurance jockey sit behind a desk telling me exactly what my son needs.
Right. I know,
anyway,
it's infuriating.
Oh, it's absolutely infuriating, especially when you got a 5-pound baby sitting in an incubator, and they're telling me what he can and cannot have behind a desk. I honestly, Jay, I was just a mess at that time. But that's my point. I just wanted to bring up a quick one.
All right, Paul. Good call, man.
Thank you, Jay.
Appreciate it. All right, we got three lines open at 303-713-7600. And we don't have to talk about health care. We're into open phones. And I want to read you the story about the Pentagon, and I'll do that coming up here on AM 760. Meanwhile, we got three open lines at 303-713-7600. We've gone into open phones early here this morning. If you want to talk about health care and your health care experiences, certainly can talk about that or anything else that may be on your mind, from Harriet Myers to James Dobson to whatever we've covered this morning, or maybe you got something you wanted to we haven't covered. And I'm going to read you this thing from the Washington Post. Walter Pincus is the guy who wrote it about the Pentagon wanting to spy on Americans.
Your soups are exclusively at the Safeway Deli. It's like dining out at home anytime. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Trick? You just don't get the blah, 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 blah. Or treat?
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
No tricks here.
Radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right. They're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
Imagine becoming a millionaire by investing in real estate. Sound unbelievable? Well, I've engineered a proven system to help ordinary people make a fortune investing in real estate. Now I want to help you become rich too. Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I bought my first property at 17 without a penny to my name, and since then I've made millions in real estate. I'm going to send you a free tape to show you just how easy it is. That's right, absolutely free. With my simple techniques, you'll learn the secret to spotting deals that come along on average once a week. Whether you're just getting started or are a seasoned investor, my free tape will show you just how easy it is to become rich. Very rich. You owe it to yourself to evaluate my real estate investment system, and you can do it absolutely free. That's right, absolutely free. Call right now to get my free tape. 1-800-991-7748. That's 1-800-991-7748. 1-800-991-7748.
It's that time of year again. Time to call American Exteriors at 3037 Window to replace your old drafty windows with beautiful new American Exteriors replacement windows. 25 years of superior customer service has made American Exteriors the largest window and siding company in the Rocky Mountain West. They make their windows right here in Colorado, so you're buying direct from the manufacturer, avoiding that hefty middleman markup that other window companies have to charge, and eliminating any warranty hassles. American Exteriors' beautiful windows and durable maintenance-free siding will beautify your home and save you money on your energy bill. American Exteriors. They've been manufacturing and installing quality replacement windows and siding on homes just like yours for more than 25 years. And they're committed to your total satisfaction. What are you waiting for? Call 303-7-WINDOW now to set up a friendly in-home consultation. And if you call right now, you'll get 40% off your next order. So remember,
the only number you need to know is 303-7-WINDOW.
Not valid with other offers.
Even better place to work in 2005. These reductions not only affect the employees, but the persons needing those essential city services. Mayor Hickenlooper only has the keys temporarily to the office. Then it's back to the corporate restaurant business for him. And after his temporary fling with public service, what will you, the employee who has dedicated your career to the citizens of Denver, be left with? All you have is the power to stop this, and the Teamsters Local 2004 wants to help. Please call Ed Bagwell at 303-433-1718.
Annex with all your automotive problems, questions, and complaints. Toll free, 888-401-AUTO, 888-401-AUTO.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
8:47, 13 minutes in front of 9 o'clock here on AM 760. Well, I don't know what is up with me this morning here. I'm losing it. 303-713-7600. High today should be 49 under partly sunny skies. George W. Bush down in past Christian, Mississippi, with a huge, huge photo op at the opening of the school down there. And this is his eighth visit down there. And I wonder if that changes your mind about his response to Hurricane Katrina. He's down there doing these photo ops. You know, what does he think that now all of a sudden he can, like, make it look like he's concerned? All right, let's go back to the phones here. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. It's open phones, 303-713-7600. I've got one line open. Pierre in Hartsel. Pierre, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hi, Pierre.
Well, before I start, I just want to say, I thought about it the other day. You do a lot of extra work all the time, the breakfasts, the lunches, the going to the Be the Change things like that. And I just want to thank you for that right off the bat.
I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, well, it's nice that you go to those things. But I was going to comment on the doctor that called in, and I thought that was a wonderful call. One of my best friends is a doctor, and she just had to close up her practice.
Oh, wow.
The same exact thing, they don't, the insurance companies, et cetera, no one wants to give her the right money, and she had to mortgage her house twice, and she was the poorest doctor I'd ever met in my life, and she worked continuously, 12 to 14 hours a day, and it was pathetic, and she really cared about her patients. When she tried to work at the hospitals, they were given, 10 minutes with a patient, get them in, get them out, get them in, get them out. And, she just didn't want to be that kind of a doctor. So she had her own practice, and she went under. So, it's just pathetic that no one in this country can come up with a method for us to work this healthcare system out.
So they can't come up with a method because they don't want to come up with a method, because the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies rule the roost, and they, and many times, they're involved in writing the bills in Congress.
Well, absolutely. And this is where, it's time for us to all get it together, because when they did the surveys, the number one thing that people wanted was health care, and yet we got a bankruptcy law, we got a litigation law, and all these various other things that didn't do people any good. And so it's time that we really do need that campaign finance reform and that sort of thing. It's just pathetic, and it breaks my heart when I have to hear doctors who obviously care about what they do in this situation. So
it is. It's very, very rough. It's very discouraging.
I thought it was great that doctor called in and said that, because I thought my friend was one of the few doctors out there dealing with this, but obviously not. So.
No, I wonder if there's any other doctors who want to call in and talk about this, too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's all I called in about, so have a good one.
All right, you too, Pierre.
Bye.
All right, that frees up two lines at 303-713-7600. Now, I wonder if there's any more doctors who want to call in and talk about that. I go to a wonderful physician here in Boulder. Dr. Miyako, who's really great, and I'm lucky to have found a good doctor like her. I see a woman doctor, and she's great. I don't know why I threw that in there. I guess it's unusual. Is it unusual for men to see a woman doctor? Is that kind of an unusual thing? But she's really, really, really caring. So I'm really, really lucky that I go to her. But I feel for physicians these days and what they have to go through. And also us in the American public, because we're spending a lot of money, we're not getting a bang for our buck. It's just not a good situation. Let's go to Richard in Colorado Springs. Richard, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jay.
Hi, Richard.
Ask and you shall receive. I happen to be a physician.
So. Ah, good.
All right. A couple of things on this mess as our healthcare system has become. One of the great neocon talking points is always that, quote, we have the best healthcare in the world. If that's the case, I would ask, why does every other Western democracy not emulate our system? In fact, they have nationalized single-payer health care. So, if we have such a great system and such great health care delivery, which we obviously don't, every other Western civilization would be emulating us, and instead they do just the opposite. Just like the last caller asked, there's a beautiful model for delivery of single-payer health care. It exists throughout the European Union. All of those countries, the Scandinavian countries particularly, have a great model to emulate, but the American Insurance Institute, et cetera, will do everything they can to fight that.
Yep, they step in at every turn of the mile.
Absolutely. And, one of the other things they always seem to bring up and oppose is, you hear people say things like, oh, well, my goodness, you don't want a system like they have in Canada, do you? Ask a Canadian, they'll tell you what they think of their healthcare system. They love it. They have
They pay less than we do.
Yes, they have universal access to care regardless of age or income status. They have affordable prescription drugs. They are not lined up around the block waiting for simple elective procedures. That's just a myth perpetrated again by the right wing in this country to try to hold on to their turf. The insurance industry in this country that was really deregulated when healthcare insurance companies were allowed to be for-profit, investor-owned, and our friend Ronald Reagan gave us that back in the early 80s. Prior to that, you had to be a not-for-profit company to be in the healthcare insurance business. But anyway, They've turned capitalism inside out and upside down, because when you think of capitalism, you think the harder I work, the more I'll make. Where in the healthcare industry, if you're an insurance company, the less you do, the more profit they make.
Right.
The less care they allow, the less care they let me as a physician deliver, the more money they make. And so it's not capitalistic at all. It's absolutely predatory. It's not legitimate, you know, work hard, make a buck. I mean, capitalism in the insurance industry would be the more subscribers we get, the more money we make. The better service we offer, the more money we make. But it's totally backwards. It's the less service we give, the more money we make. You know, and every time I hear physicians from the old guard medical establishment come out against national health care, I would simply ask them, do they really think the system we have now is better? I could cut my office staff literally by 50% if I could deal with a single insurance payer, have one place to submit bills, one company to deal with, whether it's the government or some quasi-government agency. The current system is an absolute nightmare for everybody except the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies. And again, I'm still waiting, other than for Ted Kennedy, I'm still waiting for a loud, clear voice of leadership on the progressive side of the Democratic Party to try to make this a campaign issue for 06 and 08.
Well, you saw what happened when you saw what happened when Hillary tried it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they pulled out every dollar they could muster. And we have to be honest, the American Insurance Institute is one of the largest lobbying groups and largest contributors to primarily conservative politicians in Washington, along with Pharma, the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association. You know, and they really are working against the best interest of physicians and patients. It's a totally adversarial system that I and other physicians are caught up in right now.
It's very, very frustrating, and it's frustrating that the American public knows something is wrong, but I think a lot of the American public just doesn't know what to do about it.
No, and every time somebody talks about nationalized single-payer care, the neocon lobbies get together and start their scare tactics. You know, they start making false claims about what it's actually like to try to get health care in a country with nationalized health care. But, you know, you don't see them interviewing people from Denmark and Sweden and Canada, though, on TV. You just get these, you know, crazy fabricated commercials that they come up with somewhere on Madison Avenue to try to scare people away from it. But it's, you know, I don't know the good answer, but I do know that we're already, there was an article in Denver Post a couple weekends ago about America confronting another physician shortage, and this is the biggest single part of it. Doctors are not going to spend 12 to 14 years of higher education and work, you know, through residency and internship 100 hours a week to get out and see their reimbursement shrinking year after year after year. It's not an appealing profession anymore. You don't call the shots. Some bean counter at an insurance company trying to tell you how to practice medicine, there's no appeal to go into this field anymore.
That's just so wrong. It's just so wrong. I think that article was in the Denver Post about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was on two Sundays ago. I was reading
right.
The Sunday paper. You know, and of course, the insurance companies who sit and make these medical decisions from behind a desk are protected from liability legislation by a law known as ERISA, which is an acronym, but it's called the ERISA law, and it actually protects them from liability if they tell you you can't have a particular treatment and you suffer an adverse consequence from that. Neither you nor your heirs, if you happen to die, can hold the insurance company accountable.
Yeah, that's not right either.
They've covered all their bases, and here they go again, packing the Supreme Court with pro-corporate neocons like Roberts and this woman Meyer, if she gets through, and all they're going to do is just further reinforce the pro-corporate anti-person structure throughout the country, including the healthcare system.
Yeah, I know. It's, at times, it just seems like the entire game is rigged. I mean, it really does. I mean, and I hate to say that, but it does. I just keep hoping that something good, I keep hoping that we can turn things around at least or try to gain some ground in the mid-year elections in 06.
Yeah,
but it's tough.
Yeah, it's frustrating enough to me that after 14 years of training and 20 years of practice, that literally, if I won the Powerball, I would close my office tomorrow. You know, I mean, it's just that frustrating. I mean, you know, I don't have that option now. I mean, this is what I know, this is what I do, and I think I'm good at it. But I tell you, if I had an easy out and another option to make a career and put my son through college, medicine would not be where I stayed. And
I hear you. Doc, thanks, man. Great call.
Yeah, Jay. Take care.
All right. Boy, that's discouraging. Listening to him talk, that he'd take another option. 8:58 at AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. We'll hear from Media Matters for America coming up, and we'll have more open phones, too, at 303-713-7600.
Make an unbelievable amount of money selling stuff on the internet, then grab a pen to write down a number that could change your life forever.
So far, I've done 100,000 in gross sales.
Everything you need to get started making money on the internet, including the internet's largest marketplace, eBay, is on a free CD from Internet Speedway. Generate massive cash selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. You may never have to work in an office again. Instead, you can put up your feet while your computer becomes a money-making machine.
I was able to quit my 9-to-5 with the money I make now.
Now I have my own successful online business. It's already brought in over $175,000 for me.
The Internet Speedway system could change your life forever. For your free CD on how to make money on the Internet, including sites like eBay, call 1-800-226-9008. But when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-226-9008. 1-800-226-9008.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
Over the last 2 years, over 40,000 people have packed the Colorado Convention Center for the Gears, Games, and Gadgets Expo.
G3.
This November 12th and 13th, join satisfied exhibitors like Mile High Culligan, Dunright Kitchens, Lasting Impressions, Bill Sports Collectibles, and many others by becoming an exhibitor at G3 2005. November 12th and 13th at the Colorado Convention Center. To reserve your booth, call 303-713-8343 today or get more info at g3denver.com.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
Has your network become a monster? Is IT support not in your job description? Then let Computer Superheroes fight your IT battles for you. Computer Superheroes provides prompt and reasonably priced computer service and support. Computer Superheroes will respond the same day you call. If dealing with technology seems like fighting the forces of evil, call Computer Superheroes at 720-205-5250. That's 720-205-5250. Or go to computersuperheroes.com.
Save Boulder's Progressive Talk and CBS News. Local, national, and news from around the world.
AM 760.
Now, CBS News.
KKCN Thornton Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. In the earthquake-ravaged area of northern Pakistan,
Relief helicopters keep ferrying vital supplies in and the injured out. Army Sergeant William Franz pilots one of the big Chinooks.
We're taking out food rations. We're also medevacing and moving casualties that were injured in the earthquake.
In the rubble, crews recover bodies and still find pockets of life. John Holland is in hard-hit Muzaffarabad.
We rescued a lady and her two-year-old son. That took several hours to get to the lady, but we managed to rescue her alive, and both have gone to hospital and are well.
One Pakistani official puts the death toll at more than 40,000, and to make matters worse, heavy rain and hail have curtailed relief operations in some areas. More than 500,000 people are without power or water, spending cold nights in the open. For President Bush, there was work to be done today. The President and Mrs. Bush in Covington, Louisiana earlier, north of New Orleans, lending a helping hand to a Habitat for Humanity home building project. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is covering.
With a tool belt around his waist and a hard hat on his head, Mr. Bush was seen hammering plywood walls on the wood frame of a house intended for a family who lost its home to the wind and flooding of Hurricane Katrina.
Mr. Bush, on his eighth trip to the region, says he believes there is a turnaround with people beginning to realize that there's hope. President and First Lady followed up their construction work.
Good to meet everybody.
Bye. With a visit to a reopened school in Pass Christian, Mississippi. New concerns about the impact of a possible bird flu epidemic. Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt is heading a fact-finding team on a trip to Asia, where the avian flu outbreak is most critical. It's also cropped up in Europe, and there are worries about it crossing the ocean and jumping species.
Once it begins to transmit between people, it can be quite difficult, depending upon the type of disease that it is and how virulent it is, or how efficient the virus is in going from person to person. Right now, the virus is not efficient.
Right now, there isn't enough medicine to fight the virus, and there are fears that what there is may become resistant. A new wave of violence has rocked Iraq just 4 days before a pivotal constitutional referendum. Nearly 50 people are dead in one of the attacks. The most serious, says reporter Ayub Nouri, came at a crowded market near the Syrian border.
It targeted the Iraqi special forces and police on a bridge inside the town and killed a number of them, as well as injuring a number of civilians.
Over the past 2 weeks, some 388 people have been killed by the insurgents. The Supreme Court this morning has turned down without comments an appeal from a generic drug company over the patent for the popular antidepressant Zoloft. Checking on Wall Street right now, the Dow is ahead 29 points. The Nasdaq is off 4. This is CBS News.
Mr. Shatner, are you telling the court that Priceline saves you up to $100 a flight off other leading sites?
I believe I am.
Come on. Airfares are all about the same.
No, they're not.
What evidence do you have?
When you name your own price, Priceline finds the best flight for you. The airlines give us huge discounts, which we then pass on to you.
Huh.
Bet you could use a vacation right about now. Priceline. Save like nowhere else.
Airline and flight times shown only after purchase.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as...
A generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
We're still dealing with an accident southbound 225, right around Mississippi. It's in the median and jamming you back to Colfax. Also slowing down your northbound drive because of curiosity. Crews are blocking the center lane of southbound I-25 up at 112. That's to fix a big pothole. Once you get by that, we look good for the ride into downtown. Then we're slow again from University down to Hampton. I-70 moving along just fine from Wheat Ridge over to Aurora. The Turnpike also looking pretty good as you make your way through Bloomfield and Westminster. Now checking the forecast, cloudy now, but that should go away by this afternoon, bringing out the sun again with highs in the upper 40s. Right now we're at 35 degrees. Applejack Wine and Spirits is having an outrageous sale featuring over 200 top wines for under $10, over 250 top wines under $15, and over 300 top wines for under $20. Come in and see why Applejack is number one and save on wines from around the world. Great wineries and vineyards. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
For now, we've been sworn to secrecy. But on Monday's Jay Marvin Show, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, will spill the beans.
Don't miss a major announcement for AM 760 listeners at 7:20 a.m. That's Monday morning at 7:20 on the Jay Marvin Show.
I can't wait.
Cough it up. Give me it.
Only on AM 760.
AM 760.
Boulder's Progressive Talk. This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, Matt. I'm 5 minutes after 9. Partly sunny today. High of 49. AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin with you at 303-713-7600. Dissent, discussion, and disagreement. That's what it's all about. And let's go to Media Matters for America's Paul Waldman. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. All right, let's talk about some things that are going on in the news. First of all, Louis Freeh's got a brand new book out, and he's blasting Bill Clinton. How's this being covered?
Well, there's something interesting that happened. He made an arrangement with 60 Minutes to sort of unveil the book on their show.
Right.
As some fortunate people who can manage to generate a lot of book sales sometimes do. And in the interview, he makes a rather startling charge that appears in his book as well. What he says is that after the Khobar Towers bombing, President Clinton, in talking to the Saudi government and trying to get their assistance in investigating who was responsible for that bombing, told the Saudis that he wanted them to make a donation to his presidential library. And that was sort of part of the negotiation. Now, that's kind of shocking that an American president would make that request in a negotiation with a foreign government. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Bill Clinton denies this, and so do a number of people who were there in the room. One person who was not there in the room was Louis Freeh, and according to Clinton's spokespeople, they've got five different people who were there who say that this never happened.
So why did he say that it did?
Well, we don't know exactly. This whole book is sort of a score settling on Louis Freeh's part. He feuded with Bill Clinton almost from the moment that he became the FBI director. And Clinton felt that he was never able to fire him and install somebody different, even though he wasn't happy with Freeh, because he thought that would be too controversial and it would look like he was just trying to cover up for some of the scandals of the Clinton years. But the interesting thing about this is there's a parallel, not with the book that was put out by Richard Clark, which we all remember, called Against All Enemies, where he was very critical of the Bush administration and their efforts or lack thereof to stop terrorism in the days before September 11th. Now, he did a similar thing where he gave 60 Minutes an exclusive, but since he was making some serious charges against the Bush administration, they did an interview with the person who was at the time the Deputy National Security Advisor, Stephen Hadley, who is now the National Security Advisor, who took Condoleezza Rice's old job, and they gave Hadley the opportunity to come on the air and rebut the charges that Clark was making. Now, in this case, however, 60 Minutes told President Clinton and his people that the only interview they would accept for someone to come on and discuss the charges that Freeh was making was an interview with President Clinton himself. And they wouldn't allow any other surrogate or any other Clinton administration official to come on and talk about Freeh's charges. So what happens? Well, Freeh goes on the air. He makes this charge. There's no one there to counteract it. And Mike Wallace, well, he should have done, I think, what you would expect a journalist to do, which is to say, okay, you know, this is a really serious charge. You're saying that President Clinton, as part of this negotiation, demanded a contribution to his presidential library. Well, where did you get this information? Because Freeh wasn't in the room. You know, who told you this? How do you have any kind of evidence for this? And Mike Wallace never said anything of the sort. He just sort of, he said, oh, well, you know, the Clinton people say this isn't true, and then they moved on. And so you have this chart sitting out there. We don't know where Freeh is supposedly getting his information. I think that in this case, 60 Minutes really didn't do their job as journalists.
Oh, the right-wing media at work again.
Well, you know, I think with 60 Minutes, there's something interesting that's happened with them in the past year or two, and CBS News in general. You know, you had that whole dust-up over the President Bush's National Guard documents,
right,
and that
exactly.
story.
Yeah.
And I think what happened was that they were so badly burned by that. Not only did it end up leading to Dan Rather's resignation, but they decided that they weren't going to be too tough on this administration. There's one little interesting story. When they aired that National Guard story, they bumped another story that was supposed to air that night because
right.
they thought the National Guard story was a little bit more exciting. Now, the story that was pushed off the air that night was one that was about the claim that President Bush had made in the State of the Union that Saddam Hussein had sought uranium from the country of Niger. And it was investigating this claim, figuring out where. That one actually had some forged documents, where those forged documents came from. It was a story that would have not reflected on very well on the Bush administration. So they pushed it off the air, and then you had the whole controversy over the National Guard story. So what did they do? Well, they very quietly issued a press release saying that it would be inappropriate for them to air the story about the Niger uranium claim before the election. Now, I find it a little bit frightening when journalists are saying that it's inappropriate to put out a story that doesn't reflect well on the government because there's an election coming up. That's saying that you're not going to be hard on them, you're going to protect them from that information getting out there if it might harm their reelection efforts. And now CBS has said that uranium story is never going to air. We're never going to learn what they learned. Now, I don't know if they learned something that other journalists don't know, or, you know, if there's some sort of new information there, but we'll never know because they've been so beaten down over that National Guard story that I think that they've decided that they're just not going to be all that tough on the Bush administration.
And they haven't really been.
No, I don't think so.
No.
And this is, this is obviously, it's always a question of how much the press is going to criticize the president and criticize the administration in power. And, you know, I think that we as citizens have a right to expect a certain degree of courage from the reporters who are doing such a service for us. I mean, after all, you know, as individual citizens, we don't have the time to investigate what's going on in the government. Nobody's able to do that. That's the job of the press. And if they don't have the courage to say, we're going to go where the facts lead us, whether it reflects well or poorly on those in power, then we as citizens are really being deprived of the things that we need in order to exercise our citizenship, and that's a real shame.
Maybe the media will take some a dose of courage from this new movie that's coming out about Edward R. Murrow.
Well, it wouldn't hurt. That was a very interesting example in the annals of history, and, you know, Murrow is someone who is cited as a hero to so many different journalists, and he, on that occasion, decided he was going to stand up to Joe McCarthy, who was basically terrorizing an entire country. It was very controversial at the time. But what it showed is that there are times when reporters have to stand up and say, hold on, I have to speak out. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily conflict with the idea of objectivity. If objectivity just means that you're not going to call out the government when it's lying or when it's doing something wrong, then it doesn't really have, it's not really doing what it's supposed to do, which is to serve the best interests of the populace, of the readers, of your listeners. And there are have been a couple of those significant occasions in history, one with Edward R. Murrow, another one where Walter Cronkite came out and said that the Vietnam War didn't look like it was winnable, and he was, you know, the most trusted man in America, the most important anchor. It's not that every night, you know, that Brian Williams should come out and say what his opinion on the issue of the day is, but there are times when the government is not telling us the truth, and it's the responsibility of journalists to get up and say it and not just say, you know, one side says this and one side says that.
Well, at a time when the government's not telling us the truth, I mean, I've lost count from the last time the government did tell us the truth. And you saw that, that the White House has gotten in a little bit of minor trouble for that fake news that they were putting out and distributing to television stations around the country.
They absolutely have. And you know, I think that we've seen with the Bush administration from the beginning a kind of contempt for the very idea that journalists have an important role to play in our democracy. So they're paying columnists to tout their policies. They're putting out these video news releases that are packaged to look like they're actual news, and they send them to local stations who put them on the air as though it's anything more than propaganda. And they've treated the White House press corps with a sort of an unprecedented hostility. And what it all adds up to is this idea that the press isn't there to serve the public. They don't have an independent function of democracy. They're just there to be manipulated and intimidated. And I think that's a very dangerous attitude. You know, every administration is going to try to get the best news that it can.
Sure.
But I think that in case after case, they have stepped over the line from trying to, maybe the way you could put it is from spin into propaganda.
Yeah, paying, who was it, Juan Williams?
It was Armstrong Williams.
Armstrong Williams,
and a couple
right.
of other paying columnists
them.
Also.
Yeah, paying them to sell the administration's ideas on Social Security and other things. That is propaganda.
Absolutely, and that's the kind of thing that we don't expect to see in our democracy, where you know, there's a reason that the founders put the freedom of the press and the First Amendment right up front in the Bill of Rights, because they understood that you cannot have a democracy without a not just a functioning press, but an aggressive press that is free to say what it wants and that will investigate those in power. You know, the problem is, you know, you've talked about how often the government lies. The only thing that's going to stop politicians from lying is if they have to pay a price.
Right.
And the only one that can make them pay a price is the press. And if the politicians discover that they can lie and they get away with it, then they're just going to keep on lying. It's up to the press to make them pay some sort of a cost, and then that will keep them in line.
You know, I got one final question for you. This is kind of a Hollywood tabloid type of question, but I saw it in one of your emails that Media Matters for America sends out. Is Darren Kagan of CNN romantically linked to Rush Limbaugh?
Yes, she is. They're dating. A lot of people sort of raise their eyebrows at that. I think that we haven't done a close enough analysis of everything that has come out of Darren Kagan's mouth since then to see if she's being affected by her relationship with Rush Limbaugh. But, you know, they obviously we don't want to assume that it's going to compromise her integrity as a journalist. I think it leaves an open question, and we'll have to see how that affects what she says on the air.
Yeah. I had the exact same thought when you sent that email out that he had made some comment on the show about my mistress in Georgia or something like that.
Oh, well, that was a little bit of a misunderstanding. Yeah, he said something about his mistress in Georgia, and CNN is based in Atlanta, and so that's where Darren Kagan is. And people sort of a lot of people said, wait a second, is he talking about something, some sort of piece of information that Darren Kagan shared with him about some issue, but it turns out that he was just talking. He was referring to a listener, and just jokingly calling her his mistress.
So he wasn't referring to Darren Kagan.
Not in that case.
All right, Paul. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, it's always my pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that's Paul Waldman, senior fellow at Media Matters for America. You can check him out at www.mediamattersforamerica.org. Open phones underway coming up at 303-713-7600, 917, 17 after 9, and AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Also, because they're close friends and they're good people. Rocky's Autos, where you can check them out on the internet at Rocky's Autos, put the S under autos, rockysautos.com, and see their massive inventory and pre-qualify for a car loan. At Rocky's Autos, they have their matching down incentive going on up to $1,500. So you put down $1,500, they'll match it, and you got $3,000 down. Put $500 down, and they'll match it, and you've got $1,000 down. And they also cover you with the worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles. A power train protection. Rocky's Autos has been family-owned and operated since 1982. Their hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., so you've got plenty of time to get out there and find the vehicle of your choice. They are the home of the largest selection of clean, late-model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. If you thought you couldn't find it anywhere else, you'll probably find it at Rocky's, and you'll find it at a price that'll put a smile on your face with service that'll put an even bigger smile on your face. Go out there and see my friends out there, Colby in the Tower, or Ruben, or any of the Rockies folks, Fred Labrato out there, or Jim Monroe, Marilyn's brother. They're all great folks out there at Rockies, and they're waiting to help you. So Rockies
always leads to another. That's why there's True Value's Fall Home Project Sale. Great savings now through October 16th. True Value. Help is just around the corner.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 9:21, 21 minutes after 9. Partly sunny, high today near 49. The sun's trying to fight its way through here in Boulder, but it should be partly sunny today and a high of 49. All right. I meant to read part of this, and I'll read part of it to you now. It's open phones, 303-713-7600. Anything you want to talk about is fine. As part of an ever-expanding counterterrorism role being taken on by the Pentagon, defense intelligence agencies, covert operatives need to be able to approach potential sources in the United States without identifying themselves as government agents. This is according to George Pierce of the DIA's General Counsel. This is not about spying on Americans, Pierce said in an interview, which he defended legislative language approved last week by the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. The provision would grant limited authority for the Defense Intelligence Agency agents to clandestinely collect information about U.S. citizens or emigres into the country to help determine whether they could be recruited as sources of intelligence information. Pentagon spying on American citizens. This is what the Republican-controlled Congress is up to. When you're sleeping at night, they're thinking about ways to screw us. and particularly screw our civil liberties. This legislative proposal has been controversial on Capitol Hill and has drawn criticism from groups concerned with privacy and civil liberties. The House Intelligence Authorization Bill, which was passed in June, does not include the provision, which is similar to a proposal that was eliminated last year from the legislation. The Senate Intelligence Panel approved the new authority for the DIA last week and forwarded it to the Senate Armed Services Committee, which reviews sections related to the Defense Department. One senior Armed Services Committee staff member said yesterday that the DIA provision will get close review. Well, certainly hope so. All right, let's go back to the phones. Gary in Colorado Springs. Gary, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, you had some great guests this morning. I really enjoyed the doctors calling in talking about their experiences with medical care.
Well, thanks.
In this country.
We're glad they called in.
I know it. It's neat having people like that step forward and say, hey, we're taking it in the shorts, too. If we can get enough people aware that others are suffering, we can hopefully get something done. And that's one of the reasons why I'm real excited about that Kucinich thing this Friday, or Saturday, I guess it is.
Right, it's a Saturday, I believe.
I'd like to hear a Democrat who's got guts enough to stand up and talk about the war.
Well, you know, speaking of that, there's a new CBS poll out. This is going to be good news for the Bush administration. Public support for U.S. involvement in Iraq continues to fall by 2-1. Americans reject financing the war through an increased federal deficit, and 62% would finance paying for the rebuilding of the Gulf Coast by cutting spending in Iraq.
Yep.
More than half the Americans think Iraq is not secure enough to hold its constitutional referendum in just under a week, and many doubt that the country will ever become a stable democracy. What do you think about that?
Well, if people finally start to realize what those of us who read international news media knew 3 years ago, our quote-unquote leaders are being dragged along behind us, as they usually do. I hope they get drugged more quickly. I hope we get out of there quickly. Even here in Colorado Springs, as a matter of fact, we're starting to see some local Democrats find a little bit of backbone and stand up to some of this crap. There was an attempt made here recently in Colorado Springs by one of the nonprofit groups to try to encourage local social service organizations to set up programs for returning veterans. And one of the nonprofits doesn't happen to be run by a church, so it's a little more responsive to what people need, set up this program, and they advertised it, and they got the city mayor to say that he would support the program and be behind it, and they started getting it going. And all of a sudden, somebody got to the mayor, and he backed off and said, no, wait a minute, we don't need social services for returning veterans.
Oh, please.
Post-stress traumatic disorder is a myth, doesn't really exist.
He said that was a myth?
Well, that was the implication. He told stories about his dad got out of a war and didn't need any extra help, therefore nobody should, right?
Oh, wow.
But at any rate, the folks that have been doing the Camp Casey activity here in Colorado Springs have been drawing a lot of interest from a lot of people around town lately, and they've gotten involved in this thing, and they're taking a bunch of folks to a city council meeting today at noon. And they're trying to get a couple dozen people together for a bit of a rally outside the city council chambers, which is at the corner of Nevada and Kiowa Street, about the 200 block of North Nevada, at 12:30. And then at 1 o'clock, some of them are going to go and talk to the city council and try to explain to them why it is that vets are going to need these kinds of services as they come back. But it's just another situation where our quote-unquote leaders stand around with their hand out taking graft from the corporations, until the people finally cause them enough pain that they start maybe doing what we need them to do.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that you're going to see a lot of Republican congressional candidates and senatorial candidates are going to be nervous about these poll numbers and the troubles that the Bush administration currently has.
Well, I hope there's enough pain in their nervousness to cause them to stop killing people and start bringing our troops home and let the Iraqis start trying to rebuild their country. I certainly would like to see us do whatever we could to help them rebuild their country, but I'm afraid we've done so much damage to it now that they're going to be saddled with 30 years of theocracy. Hopefully we can avoid the theocracy here ourselves if enough of us get together and start getting active and start taking power away from the James Dobsons of the world.
You got it. Thanks,
anyway,
Gary.
Thank you. Bye.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Robin in Boulder. Robin, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Robin.
I am so glad you're back. I remember one time I was driving up Burford Pass and you were ragging out on somebody, calling them a brainstem and other little epithets that you have, and I almost ran off the road laughing. And when you left, I thought, oh, my God, we have lost the only person who's not afraid to talk out. So thank you for being back.
Well, thanks for having me.
I have a couple of thoughts. One is, I think we should end life-term appointments for judges, be it federal or the Supreme Court. And that way we don't have this problem of, oh, my gosh, somebody's going to the court's going to be this way or that way for the next 30 or 40 years. I just don't understand why we have the lifetimes anyway. And I think our legislatures need to look at that. And then if the founders of the writers, the authors of the Constitution, were to look at these people and say, oh, they're coming in here with a bias, they'd roll over in their graves. That's not what the court's supposed to be about.
Well, that's why Harriet Myers, for instance, can't go in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and answer a question about abortion, because if she answered, not a question about abortion, but she can't answer about Roe versus Wade, because if she does, then she'd have to recuse herself from any legal case that would encompass Roe versus Wade.
Well, exactly. But that's what everybody's asking. Well, how is she going to vote on this? Well, Robert's going to vote on this? And that's not what their job is. And we've lost sight of that. And if that's the way we're getting people in there, on the way they're going to vote about something, why have a hearing on it in the first place? Just let them go into their chambers. Somebody, winky, winky, wants this changed. Let's go vote. And not even waste the time to have a hearing on it. It's just absurd. And that's not what it's about. And we've totally lost focus in that area. And I just don't know what to do to even get started on not having lifetime appointments. I think they're outrageous. They're just outrageous.
You know, I don't know if that's a problem. I think one of the problems is we play this song and dance about every nominee. When why don't we just come out? But see, we can't. But you want to just come out and ask them about you know, how they feel about certain things. And that's why I was talking earlier this morning about James Dobson. You know, the hell with him. He shouldn't be able to explain or try to clarify his position on his radio show. They should subpoena him to show up in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee to tell us what he was told by Karl Rove in the White House.
Yeah, but he's in that social circus running the whole gamut anyway. But, you know, as long as the religious right controls our country, we're in a mess. We're just in a mess.
Well, they don't control the country. There's only 30 to 35% of them, and the only thing they did was they just outmobilized us in the last election, and we're just going to have to turn back. We're just going to have to turn around in 06 and pay them back.
Well, that's right. But as long as they outmobilize us, they run the country.
Well, then we have to get up off our half moons and do something about it.
No doubt. I have voted since 1960, and I've encouraged my kids to do the same, so... And other people as well, but, you know, I can only do so much. The other comment...
All right, well, Robin, I got to cut you off because I'm out of time, but I appreciate the call.
Okay.
And call me again.
I will. Thank
okay.
you.
It's 9:30 at AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. I've got three lines open now. It's open phones, whatever it is you want to talk about. Three lines open at 303-713-7600. 9:30, let's get a look at progressive traffic now with Bailey.
Thanks, Jay. Trouble in Aurora still, but crews have cleared the accidents up on 225 right around Mississippi, but we're still seeing a pretty slow ride in both directions because of that. Now, crews have blocked the center lane south on I-25 at 112. That's for emergency pothole repair. Once you get by that, things looking pretty good into downtown with T-Rex. I-70 also moved along fine from Wheat Ridge over to Aurora, and the turnpike in great shape as you make your way through Broomfield and Westminster. Checking out the forecast, cloudy right now, but the sun should be out this afternoon with highs in the upper 40s. Right now, we're at 36 degrees. Wake up to a purpose in life. Promise Keepers Men's Conference at the Pepsi Center October 21st and 22nd. Call 800-888-7595 or visit promisekeepers.org for a special Denver 15th anniversary $20 off discount. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, and you're ready to do something about your poor vision, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
I will start strengthening my eyes naturally.
I will refuse the high cost of surgery.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
I will take control of my vision.
Take a stand against poor vision. Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. It's recommended by eye doctors and available without a prescription. Pick up the phone and we'll send you a free video to see this program for yourself. You deserve stronger eyes. Take a stand. Call right now for your free video to preview the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-773-3118. That's 1-800-773-3118. 1-800-773-3118.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive.
Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
In the next 30 seconds, AutoGlassNational.com can help you get one of the things off your to-do list. That cracked or broken windshield in your car can be fixed today. AutoGlassNational.com is friendly, fast, and dependable. Click the banner in your player now for a fast, free quote with no obligation. You'll see the price on your screen in a few seconds. They can also help with all your residential and commercial glass needs. Let AutoGlassNational.com get that windshield off your to-do list.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right. They're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
Years ago, because of the insurance hassles, she wasn't getting reimbursed. They would argue details on her forms that she would submit. And she told me if she didn't submit it in a timely manner within 3 months, they would just ignore reimbursement completely.
Hmm.
And she just left the state completely and just opened up a little office in another state. And she was one of the best in Colorado, so we lost somebody.
See, that's criminal.
Yeah, and they would just find reasons. And she was one of the most honest people around, and any mistake on her application would have been just a technicality.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. We're losing a lot of people. Every doctor, every specialist I know hates the current insurance system, and second on their list is the pharmaceuticals. But they just hate the insurance system. And the turnaround from 20 years ago when every doctor hated a one-payer system, now they all would prefer it.
We ought to have a single payer system, and we ought to have national health care in this country.
Yeah. I have my personal insurance is a high deductible, $6,500 deductible, and I found, and I'm paying quite a bit for it. And I found out the hard way that when I broke my leg last year in June, that if you break your leg in November or December, you have to pay twice the $6,500 because it expires December 31st. So,
oh, wow.
If I would have wound up in a hospital, it took 6 months to 8 months with physical therapy and two operations to get everything right. And I fitted it, I squeezed everything into that 1 year because had it gone over January 1st, I would have owed another $6,500.
How can you afford that?
Well, you can't. So I squeezed everything into that 1 year and I'm still paying for it. I put it all on my credit card. So,
interest rates?
Yeah, sort of. I got a very low interest rate one, but had I broken my leg in November, December, I would have paid twice the $6,500. And so I recommend to your listeners that if they have anything serious that they suspect that can they can put off for a little bit, If it happens in November, December, put it off till January if they got a high deductible so they don't wind up getting squeezed twice.
Wow.
I had some anal bleeding going on for about 2 years, and I wasn't terribly concerned, but, you know, it could be cancer. And I put it off because that would have been several thousand dollars. And I put it off for a couple of years until I broke my leg, and they covered the, you know, the deductible. And then I just went in and had a colonoscopy done that same year. But had I not had broken the leg and had I had cancer, I probably wouldn't have gone in to have a colonoscopy because of the price.
Now, I think we all agree something needs to be done. But I'll tell you, it's that all, as I said it in the beginning. I said in the beginning of the 8 o'clock hour, I'll say it again, you know, the man asks God, when are you going to have health insurance? And God says, not in my lifetime.
Well, there's a $600 annual physical that's included in my policy. But the big lie there is it comes off of your $6,500 deductible. So when do I get to use that?
I can't answer it. Bella, thank you, man.
Oh, yeah, sure. Bye.
Appreciate the call. God, $6,000. 303-713-7600, one line open now, 100. It says 303, that's not how they taught me in broadcast school. 303-713-7600, and we got one line open here, it's open phones. Dave in Broomfield. Dave, you're on AM 760.
How you doing, Jay? Thank you.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm all right. Listen, I'm going to change it up. I know it's open phones. I wanted to comment yesterday on the caller from the woman about marijuana prohibition and her fear that kids would use it and how dangerous.
That's, you know what? That's Becky in Boulder, and she said that I'd yelled at her. She sent me an email saying, I said to her, I wanted you to hang on and get the last word, and she said, well, you yelled at me. Was I yelling at her?
No, you didn't yell, but it's very difficult sometimes to keep your cool when you're dealing with an argument that is so absolutely ludicrous. And I know you don't want to laugh at her, and I don't want to laugh at her right now, but I just want to say to Becky that as a parent of a 10-year-old, who, and I'm doing my best to educate him and raise him right by myself, there is no way you can tell me that any 10-plus-year-old, 13-year-old, whatever it is, child cannot find grass if he wants to or she wants to. So the whole notion about it being illegal keeps it out of the hands of children. That's just, we got to just throw that out the window. If anyone wants to alter their consciousness, be it with sugar, cigarettes, alcohol, marijuana, whatever it is, they're going to do it. And no amount of prohibition or legal intervention is going to prevent that.
Well, I think we see that. I think we see it by history. And I think it is time to consider legalizing marijuana. I really do. And if the FBI is talking about releasing, loosening up their standards, certainly as a society we should be able to have a national debate about this. Unfortunately, the trouble is you'll never get any politicians to run on that idea, I don't think.
Agreed, because it all comes back to follow the money. And the people that buy these candidates and put them into office, as much as we want to say if we get a Democratic candidate in there, they're going to be on our side on this issue, it's just not true. I mean,
is it follow the money, or is it this? Is it that the mainstream America, that most of us just wouldn't accept the idea of legalization?
No, I think it really is follow the money. I think we will educate the population to learn the falsehoods and the lies that have been perpetrated upon everyone regarding marijuana prohibition.
See, the reason I ask that is because if you had a major candidate that came forward and said, and one of the things I think we should do is legalize marijuana, I think the press and his critics or her critics would have a field day.
Well, I'm sure they would at first, but it's time to get in front of the argument and start talking about the real dollars and cents here. Follow the money. First off, like the gentleman said yesterday, half of the people in federal prisons for drug offenses are in for marijuana. So if you released half of the prison population in the federal prison system, then by simple economics, wouldn't you not have to lay off half your staff? Because you'd have half the people for them to guard. And this is where they say, look, good people would lose their jobs. How many police officers would lose their jobs? Because departments would not have funding without this, the marijuana budgets, the seizures of property, the law, it goes on and on and on. There's so much money that could be made if we just allowed farmers to grow this substance for hemp and paper. And then we can get into the medical issues. We can get into the fact that it is less harmful to your body than cigarettes. It could even be less harmful to your body than sugar and soda. We need to really change our perceptions, and it's going to come down to the fact that the other side is going to use scare tactics, and we need to give honest information to the population and let them make their own choice.
Yeah, I just think that, man, I think that if you had ever had any candidate for any major office, Congress, Senate, presidency, vice presidency, that they ever wanted to talk about the governor, if they ever wanted to talk about the legalization of marijuana, I think they'd get ambushed.
I agree, but I've never done a hard drug, and so it's not a gateway drug for me.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate the call. It's been a good one.
Thanks, Jake.
Okay, you bet. Well, anybody else want to pick up on that and speculate? I know there are some governors out there, there have been governors in the past, that have talked about decriminalization. But legalization, I don't know if the American middle, the swing vote, buy that idea, and I think you get ambushed at the polls. 9:43, 17 minutes in front of 10 o'clock here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, one line open.
Or at cheaperfords.com. Rick Morgan, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Something big is coming, but we can't tell you of until next Monday.
I'm glad we waited.
Yeah.
But I can't wait anymore.
The suspense is killing me.
If you listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all. Their loan officers do not work on commission. They're salaried, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. I believe in American Financing. I know the owners, and that's why I'm willing to put my name behind them. Call 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
When you're looking to build a new facility, there's a lot riding on your shoulders. You have to get a structure that meets your needs. You need one that's built to last. You need to get it built quickly. And most importantly, you need it to stay within budget. What you need is a pre-engineered steel building from Anthem Steel. You won't believe how much you'll save in both time and money with a brand new built-to-last steel building. For free information on how you can get the building you need with less time and money, call 1-800-771-1868. You can even customize your building. You select the size, you select the style. You can even choose to add the look of brick, stucco, or stone. Building a new facility is a big responsibility. Make it easier by calling Anthem Steel. Achieve your goals faster and with less strain on your budget. For free information, call Anthem Steel at 1-800-771-1868. Call Anthem Steel today, 1-800-771-1868. That's 1-800-771-1868.
Imagine becoming a millionaire by investing in real estate. Sound unbelievable? Well, I've engineered a proven system to help ordinary people make a fortune investing in real estate. Now I want to help you become rich too. Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I bought my first property at 17 without a penny to my name, and since then I've made millions in real estate. I'm going to send you a free tape to show you just how easy it is. That's right, absolutely free. With my simple techniques, you'll learn the secret to spotting deals that come along on average once a week. Whether you're just getting started or are a seasoned investor, my free tape will show you just how easy it is to become rich. Very rich. You owe it to yourself to evaluate my real estate investment system, and you can do it absolutely free. That's right, absolutely free. Call right now to get my free tape, 1-800-991-7748. That's 1-800-991-7748. 1-800-991-7748.
American Financing Corporation is the mortgage company I trust, and you can too. Hi, I'm Tom Martino, your consumer advocate and troubleshooter. Sure, you'll hear a lot of other mortgage companies saying you can trust them, but are they on our referral list at troubleshooter.com? Do they have a guarantee of good service? American Financing does, and they put it in writing. That's right, they're so sure you'll get the lowest rates and closing costs, they'll guarantee it in writing. banking. How many other mortgage companies make that promise? Their loan officers do not earn commissions. They're paid a salary, and their only job is to get the best deal for you. And they offer every type of mortgage in the industry, so you'll get the right one for you without shopping all over the place. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or refinancing, contact the company I trust, American Financing Corporation, 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Experience the difference.
Hey, man, I love your show. I wish we had more of you.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
Well, listen, man, I'm from Selma, Alabama, and I moved out here a while back during the dot-com boom. And so if I sound kind of like a hick, yeah, that's what's going on.
Hey, my wife's from Mississippi, so it doesn't bother me.
Awesome. Go Ole Miss. Roll Tide, no, go Ole Miss.
You got it.
Listen, I called today. I wanted to just chat with you a little bit. I got a friend who's over in he had four buddies killed just a few weeks ago, and he's pretty shook up about it. And for me, it's hitting home pretty good. And, I was just thinking, you know, if we really want to get out of Iraq, it seems like to me that, that the citizens of Iraq would help us do this, you know, and it doesn't work. And from the emails that I get from my friend, he says that they don't want to help us. They're not doing what they can to try and help us find these guys who are planting these bombs, these car bombs and so on. It just seems like if they wanted us out and we wanted to get out, then it would be kind of a mutual thing where, you know, it's like, hey, you know, help us help you. And,
I think one of the problems with that is, you know, a lot of those people are scared. That's number one, because they don't want it. They don't want retaliation. That's number one. And then number two, a lot of them are busy just trying to get through the day. I mean, Iraq is a dangerous place to live.
Sure. I'm with you on that. That's the thing. I feel like it's almost like we're chewing our own hand here, you know. Things going down in Pakistan where these people are just buried alive and nobody's able to help.
Well, we're sending $50 million in 8 helicopters.
Oh wow! I had no idea. I need to get myself informed a little better on that.
But you know, the big thing is hard to get, you know, it's hard to fight an insurgency. It's hard to fight a guerrilla movement. It's virtually impossible to do. Very few countries are successful at it.
Sure.
And the local populace is intimidated. And, you know, take the story that showed up in the New York Times here a couple of days ago about the death squads that are operating in Basra, and they're part of the, they've infiltrated the police department.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just a tough situation, and I guess the main thing is that it just seems like I said before, it seems like we're just kind of eating our own limbs here, and it's just getting to be really nasty, and it's hit home with a lot of people that I know now, and it's just, I just think that if those people, I know that the intimidation factor is incredibly immense, but I just don't see any other way for us to get these guys unless, unless the citizens of Iraq are willing to help us help themselves, you know.
Well, there is, as I said before, I mean, they're either intimidated or they're in a situation where they're trying to get by in life. And then there's a lot of them who support the insurgency. But,
yeah,
you know, the war is still losing steam here at home. The latest CBS poll, which was released yesterday, did the U.S. do the right thing going to war with Iraq? 41% say we did the right thing. 55% say we did the wrong thing. We should have stayed out. Is the result of the war in Iraq worth the cost? Yes, 32%. No, an overwhelming 64%.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot. You know, that's a big problem for the administration.
Yeah. It's really, I believe they are getting pretty desperate. I'm 31, and I've had a couple of recruiters actually come in from the Air National Guard Reserve and try to get me to come in to work on the communications and just come in. I'm 31, and these guys, you know, it seems like they're really getting desperate. And it's
they
just,
are.
I don't know. Well, listen, man, I won't take up any more of your time, but I wanted to say one other thing. The legalization of marijuana, I think that's – I was an alcoholic for a while, and to be honest with you, marijuana was one of the things that actually helped me get away from alcohol. And so I think there's a lot of kids these days. I have a 22-year-old boss, and I'm 31, and she has never heard of the movie Reefer Madness.
Right.
It's just crazy. The propaganda thing is just amazing. Everybody's so scared, and it's just a sham, man.
All right, Will. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Keep it up, bud.
All right, you got it.
Right, bye-bye.
Boy, some of the stuff in the CBS poll is pretty interesting. Do you think Saddam Hussein was personally involved in September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks in the World Trade Center and the Pentagon? Yes, 33%. No, 55%. And 12% had no opinion. As a result of the United States removing Saddam Hussein from power, do you think the United States is more safe from terrorism, less safe from terrorism, or it hasn't made any difference? More safe, 27%. Less safe, 17%. No difference, 55%. I would say this administration's got some problems when it comes to Iraq, some big ones. Let's go to Bill in Nederland. Bill, you're on AM 760. Nederland, I'm sorry, I keep doing that. Bill, you're on.
Yeah, that's right. You got it right, Jay. Good morning. How you doing? Listen, I know there's more important things going on, but did I just hear on your radio station that Darren Kagan is quote-unquote having a relationship with Rush Limbaugh?
She's dating him, according to Paul Waldman.
Jay, I'm having breakfast here. What are you trying to do, make me sick?
I know. Listen, when I first saw that in Media Matters for America, you know, if you go to their website and sign up, they'll send you these emails because they keep tapping the media. And my wife, Mary, is like a huge Darren Kagan fan. And I said to her yesterday, I go, oh, man, you're not going to want to hear this. She said, what's that? I go, Darren Kagan is dating Rush Limbaugh. How can anybody get involved with that scumbag?
Well, if this is the mental image I got, the FCC should be after you for this. I'm telling you, it's incredible, isn't it? It's obscene, and she should be off the air if this is true.
I mean, just look at it. How many times has a guy been married? He's been married like three times, hasn't he?
Yeah. You've heard of cringe factor.
Really.
My goodness. Anyway, Jay, have a good day.
I ruined yours, didn't I?
That about knocked me over. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Bill. Thanks for calling, man.
Take care, bye.
All right, I got a couple of lines open at 303-713-7600. Two lines open, 303-713-7600. Let's see, Limbaugh's been married. Maybe he's been married twice. Let's see, Marta was his recent wife that he's just divorced now, or is getting a divorce. I think he was married one time before that. Chris in Broomfield. Chris, you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. Great show today.
I got about 2 minutes, so make it good.
I'll make it quick. I'm going back to the question you had about homosexuality in the Bible, where it refers to it specifically.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody's mentioned already, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, specifically addresses homosexuality.
Use the word homosexual?
It calls them effeminate.
Well, that's not saying homosexual. There's a lot of heterosexual males who are effeminate, too.
Well, this is the King James Version, not the new, International Version. So the International Version translates this into homosexual. If you'd like me to read it, whatever context you want to put it in, that's fine. I'm not trying to, I'm not a righty, if that's what you're thinking.
No, I'm not thinking that. I'm just thinking that they always bring up this thing about homosexuals, but that somebody told me, and I believe it was my wife Mary, who's pretty versed with the Bible, said you can't find it anywhere in the Bible.
Well, that word probably didn't exist back at that time, but the word effeminate obviously was part of the King James translation.
Yeah. I'm running out. You know what? Do me a favor. Can you call me back tomorrow during open phones so I can get you to read this?
Okay. And one other thing I would like to say is there was a person yesterday or the day before that mentioned that we can't apply the end of times reference in the Bible to the current times. Technically, the end of times started at the death of Christ. From there forward, it'll be the end of times.
Okay, appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're out of time. Been a weird morning this morning. Phones were a little bit slow this morning, so I don't know if you were coming off the holiday feeling or whatever. But anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Hey, how about the Iraq Oil for Food program? The right slammed it like they were lying, and we'll tell you why tomorrow on AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk.
listen to my radio show, you'll notice there are lots of ads about mortgage companies. Hi, I'm troubleshooter Tom Martino. And one thing I've learned is that you have to go way beyond the ads to know you're dealing with a good company who will do what they promise. American Financing is that company. They've earned my endorsement. They have programs, real programs that will save you thousands of dollars over the mortgage mills I warn you about every day. They'll get you the lowest rates at the best terms. You have my word on it. Regular loans, jumbo loans, seconds, and equity lines, they do it all.